listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
It's the P-L-A-Y. I'm just here to say hi. Asking you, may I tell you about the day I picked up the microphone, the pen and pad, and the legend of the tramp begins.
The party host with the most, giving you a dope see. Need instructions, so listen closely. Two lines form, and makes a step to them. Those at the back door, girls by the bedroom.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Monday.
Yes, today is
on
Monday.
A Monday. Yay! Everybody's favorite day of the week.
Turning up on a Monday. Yeah.
Everybody loves how we, you know, you get everything started on a Monday. You get off to a fresh new start, right?
True.
You got a whole week of work to look forward to?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We got some very special Monday guests that I hope will make you feel excited about Monday. It is the crew from Medium Popcorn, best intro song in all of podcasting for my money. But
thank
it's,
you.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's our man Brandon Collins. What's going on, Brandon?
What's up, everybody? It's been a long time. Happy to be back, man.
Hey, glad you can make it, dog. And then, of course, we have my man, Justin J. Brown. What up, J. Brown? Did it on Twitter.
Living the dream. Y'all living the dream. How y'all doing?
Good.
So happy to be back.
Oh, I know a lot of people is happy. We asked our fans on, like, Facebook and Twitter. We was like, what are some of y'all favorite guests that y'all want us to bring back this year? And you guys continually popped on the list.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh,
look at that. People like us.
big fans of you guys.
Yes, the people like you. So I know some people are very excited to hear y'all today.
And you know, it's kind of a fitting time to be on the show. We just had the Golden Globes.
Yes.
Last night. Sure. Did you guys watch the Golden Globes at all?
I did because, you know, I had nothing to do except drink some wine. So I was definitely
What about you?
I was prepping for an audition last night, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But I heard some of the backlash, some of the things that happened.
So you were trying to work so that one day you could be on that stage accepting that award and shouting
You're
out.
Damn right.
Getting too drunk and shouting out people. I thought to myself, like, while they were doing the acceptance speeches, why hasn't anybody ever given like a real petty acceptance speech like, and I like to thank my wife who's cheating on me and I want a divorce. Thank you, Golden Globes. You know what I mean? But that's a perfect moment to just say some petty shit like that. But nobody's ever done it.
On national television, break it all down.
Yeah, you can't take it back.
Rod, you're going to get your wish on January 20th when Trump gets in there, he gonna start reading everybody on his inauguration speech. That's how that shit's gonna be.
Yeah, it probably is.
Hillary for losing. I want to thank the blacks for not voting. I want to thank the Mexicans because y'all ain't gonna be here no more.
It's gonna be the first time a president has ever got on stage and said the word haters in a speech.
And you know what? I
want to thank the haters because they made my people even stronger, even better, more like Trump, which is quality.
Transvestite.
Oh. That's how he sounds.
And he may do it because the dude that's been making the announcements and stuff for like years, he got rid of him and he hired the dude that does the Let's Get Ready to Rumble. So we might actually get the speech, y'all.
Oh, really? You got Michael Buffer in there?
You got Michael Buffer to come and do it?
Yeah, you know.
Are you getting in some Facebook fake news? Cause I feel like we need to verify the fake.
Okay, Mike, verify it. Cause
yeah, that sounds like some.
That's what the internet told me.
USnews.net type shit.
They was like, he got rid of that dude.
I don't see nothing in the news about Michael Buffer doing this shit.
Okay. The internet lied to me then.
Yeah, I'm glad we fact checked that.
We're going to have to get the Fox fact checkers on you, Karen.
It's a lot of emails we was about to get.
Karen don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Right, y'all spreading fake news.
Michael Buffer will actually reach out to you guys. How dare you guys?
Right, I'm suing. You know, he litigious, too. I don't want none.
You don't want none? No. The problems.
But yeah, y'all should be listening to Medium Popcorn anyway.
Yes.
You know, it's a podcast for people that love movies. And especially if you like our spinoff show, Spoiled Movie Reviews, because they also spoil movies over there. So you can go out there and, Yeah, they give you like the blow by blow at the zaniest scenes, yeah, and all that stuff, and
it's fun, man, but sometimes it could be painful. Like, I don't know if y'all heard a Collateral Beauty episode, but that thing, that was the first time in a long time I wanted to hurt myself during the movie. I physically wanted to hurt myself.
Yeah.
Will Smith has officially fallen off.
That was, yeah, that review, it sounded painful, you know, like, but it's still, but see, that's the thing. If I haven't seen it, then I get to enjoy the pain that you guys experience having seen it. And then if I have seen it, I can finally share the pain. Like, oh, somebody else had to go through this bullshit. I hope they go through the movie like I did, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes, like, the thing I love about the show is that we can go, like, new movies and we could do old movies. Like, we did Good Burger.
Yes.
And as you all probably heard, Justin hated that movie. But that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that is by far...
two-minute tirade about how much he hates me, how much he hates Ed from Good Burger, how much he hates Ed Sauce.
Yeah, that is by far the funniest review y'all have had, in my opinion. I've listened to that, and I was just like, tears coming down the side of my face, just laughing so hard, because I've seen Good Burger, and I remember leaving the theater and being like, well, that was trash. And hearing Brandon's, like, glee of, like, we're reliving Good Burger. And Justin's just pure torture of like, why the fuck did you do this to me? It's some of the best podcasting of 2016, period, anywhere.
Well, when it really comes down to it, I respect Brandon a little less because of Good Burger.
Right.
I'll just come out and say it. I don't respect him, his movie taste. I don't respect him as a man a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't. I'm sorry, Brandon.
It demeans.
You know, you're in my house, right?
That's okay.
It's like you're in my house right now disrespecting me.
Yeah, it definitely demeans him a bit in my eyes too. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, Brandon said and done over the years that we've been following Brandon, but I would say that his love of Good Burger was by far the worst thing he's ever done.
that was at the top of the list.
It's at the top of the list. Like, there's a lot of shit, but nah, that's it. That was it right there, dog. I'll put that ahead of the. Like, I thought the Ghostbusters episode was bad when they had the dude that didn't even see the movie. but that Good Burger was worse. I was like, Brandon, what are you doing? No! Stop doing this!
Don't
it's like he had
to. This, brother.
You know what? Since you asked about that ride, you know, that was probably the most ill-advised episode we've done, the Lady Ghostbusters episode. Because that happened to be the episode we got a lot of press on, like we were in Huffington Post that week.
Oh! And
we had a dude who didn't even see the movie, and as y'all know, he was like going in on women, how they're not funny, and he's talking his mouth about how this shit destroyed his childhood. I was like, dude, you gotta calm down. Like,
it was like everything that Jezebel writes about on their site happening at the same time. I was just like,
he was an example of like, this is why we write our articles.
Right. I was like,
Jezebel was Ray's middle name. It's Ray Jezebel Goose. That's
his name. So. It was so funny.
We've been actually having a conversation just in the last, actually, we just even had this before we got on.
Well, yeah, but we recorded the newest episode.
We're thinking about possibly taking that episode down.
Wow. That's a big step.
The reason is because after the Ronda Rousey fight, you know, our guest posted a bunch of things where I was just like, dude, I don't know if you can stand next to the dude anymore. It's just like, I think we may need to cut ties altogether.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
You know, I'm not even going to go ahead and repeat, you know.
No, repeat. I do want to know. The whole audience is like, now they like, what do you say?
I actually screenshot some of it. And sent it to
Brandon. That's when you know it's bad. When you take that screenshot, you like, this motherfucker gonna delete this. I got to get, this is the evidence, cause I gotta show people without spreading it. You know what I mean? I gotta show somebody without retweeting it.
Justin's like, I try to get an agent and shit.
You can't be fucking up my money.
Yeah, I do feel like after the nigger Navy hashtag, I can't ever host the Daily Show. You know what I mean?
Cause, I don't think you can.
They definitely gonna find them tweets and be like, "Sir, you're racist against your own people." I don't know why you thought you could get this job.
Okay, so this is one of his tweets. Ronda Rousey is a shining example that if a woman works hard and strives to be the best in her field, she can still walk into a fist repeatedly as if it's 1887 and she forgot to make her husband's dinner.
Oh.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
I think he wonders why he's a virgin. That's the problem.
Maybe. Is that what it is? He just hadn't.
The boys of business go out in the street.
Nobody
like
in this chat gonna fuck him after that? Come
right,
on.
Right, yeah. Ladies, are y'all interested? Yeah.
All the vagina just dried up simultaneously.
So how did he get on the one episode that was about the women's movie? Like that. You know what I mean? Like, did he just kick in the door and say, somebody talking about women? Like, sit on y'all.
Hold on. Hey, here's another one. Here's the other one that he wrote. Before we get to that, it goes, between this settlement, I guess, I don't know if you guys know about the UCB settlement.
Yeah.
That comic.
Yeah, there's a rumor. So if you guys have been keeping along with the New York comedy scene, there's a comic that was accused of raping several women through the UCB school here in New York City. The rumor is that he settled because of defamation of character, and he won. He used to be settled with him because he was going to win that suit, and he got a huge figure. So that's the rumor, though. It hasn't been confirmed. Okay. Yeah.
So it goes, between this settlement and Ronda Rousey utterly failing miserably at her comeback, it's a great day for men who hate women.
Oh.
Exclamation mark.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, like, he just blatantly said that. I just happened to be on Facebook at this time, and all of a sudden, all this hate speech is just scrolling down. I'm just like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Oh, is he a member of the MRA?
Yeah, he might be a man's right.
He's a card-carrying member of the MRA?
Yeah, he might be a man's right advocate, man. That's some real shit. I don't know how. It's funny, though, because it's like, after that, then does he like shoot out a link? Like, and don't forget, I was on Medium Popcorn.
Ah!
You know,
come
tag.
Me out.
Let me tag Brandy. If
you're bad about them women,
if you like these statements, you really need to hear what I thought about a movie I didn't see starring women, because I hated that shit. I hated the whole idea. Well, like, yeah, that was.
I should just have JL on, who like we know all hates all women.
He saw the movie.
Funny and has seen the movie.
Right? Yeah. Like JL's misogyny is a little more tolerable. It's funnier. He will do the research to make his points.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll give women credit so that he can knock other women down. I mean, he's a seasoned misogynist. He's not just one of these rookies. Okay.
He's an equal opportunity misogynist.
You won't catch him on Twitter saying no stupid shit that you got to take your podcast down. That dude.
This is some Pop Warner shit right here.
Right.
Some
yeah.
Pop right here.
I'm more disgusted at the amateurism of those takes.
Be professional if you're going to be misogynist.
Right. JL Covan still talking bad about Ghostbusters and it's almost a year later. He don't even care.
So, yeah, we've been having a conversation like, should we actually take that down and just separate ourselves completely from, because, you know, the podcast still gets a lot of downloads.
Yeah. That, yeah. I mean, the whole, enough. Our whole catalog gets like a lot of downloads, but like, you know, obviously like, I feel, and I'm still adjusting this, I feel like if you listen to that episode, but you listen to anything before and after, you're like, oh, that was just a bad, that was that one bad episode. Like,
here's what I'll say.
Just had a bad guess and shit.
Here's what I would say, man. And not that y'all are asking our advice, but I wouldn't take it down. But the thing is, cause we've had guests and we've had people on the show over the years where it's been like, you look back and it's almost embarrassing, you know, where you're like, man, I thought that dude was cool. And turns out that motherfucker's a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
We had one episode where it sounded like the girl was getting kidnapped.
Yeah, we've had, sound quality issues and stuff.
Wait, someone came on your show and was like, have y'all ever been kidnapped?
No, she, No, it was our girl. It was our girl Twiggy.
Wait, what's happening?
She was
what kind of guess y'all had on?
She was. It was the daughter from Liam Neeson. She was on our show.
Yeah.
And but not in the middle of the show. Like she was like doing something else, and like got in the car and drove somewhere.
Yeah, you heard the door. You heard the door dinging. She opened the door. Was like ding.
Right. We had an episode where someone caught the subway in the middle of the fucking, we're doing an NBA basketball preview. This is all rookie mistakes, right? It's just like, oh, you want to be on the show? Cool. You cool. They're like, yeah, I want to be on the show. And I'm thinking, well, you're going to treat it with the same reverence and professional shit that I would, you know, like that's a bare minimum is, you know, be somewhere where it's not making a lot of noise and you can sit in one place.
And
she was like, I got to catch the subway in the middle of our show. And it's like, well, yeah, that's, That's my fault, really. That's how I always look at stuff like that. It's like, it's really my fault because I didn't do my due diligence up front to make sure this was a guest that would respect the show. And the other part of it is, within the next show or two, we're making jokes about it, we're addressing it, we're, yeah, you know, so I leave it up because people can have reference, you know. And I, you know, I feel like I said, we've had some low moments for the show where I'm like, man, I really regret giving that person even a platform because, right, you know, whatever. But the number one thing I normally regret isn't even someone's point of view. Mm-mm. It's really the, like, if there's a certain level of respect people should have for your show,
right,
when you bring them on.
Yep.
And, you know, no offense to that dude, but not seeing the movie is a pretty basic. That's- You know, yeah, what I mean?
That's the foundation.
After I brought him on, like, because, you know, he's a huge fanboy about a lot of things.
Right.
And I saw him posting about Ghostbusters. We had talked about, I had done this Ghostbusters event where, like, I got Ecto Cooler and shit, and we were talking a lot about Ghostbusters. So right, I just assumed, being right, a Ghostbusters fan, you
exactly
see this movie regardless of if you were iffy on the concept or not.
Yeah, it's more...
Here, like, within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's more like an embarrassing... Like, for me, I don't know how you guys are, but I always, like... Like, say if I called Justin James in the middle of this show, I would think about that moment forever. I'd be like, fucking, I called him James, man. His name is Justin. I fucking listen to the show. I know his goddamn name. I sing the song, you know, shit like that. But, like, I would obsess over that. So I kind of do that, you know, with the podcast sometimes where I'm like, fuck, I made that mistake. Or we had this guest on, and I fucking hate that episode. I wish I could take it down. But I really do think it's for the best, like, to leave that shit up because it also shows, like, what I over the years, what I think a podcast really is watching people
grow
and change. Yeah. And it's really just archiving your life and your point of view and all kinds of shit. So, you know, 7 years ago when we started this shit, there's things that I didn't
congrats on that, by the way, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I didn't even realize it had been that. It don't feel like it's been that long.
But there were things I thought then that I didn't think now. And there's things true that, you know, I thought were silly then that now I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I can see that point of view or whatever. So yeah, I would say leave it up, man, because it's just part of the process, and that's really what fans want to see, is like the process, really, you know.
And who knows, y'all might decide to actually redo it with a different guest.
Yeah, like y'all could always bring JL on and he would happily talk bad about those women. He would happily do it.
Yeah, we're gonna have JL on for the Oscar episode, hopefully with Chris Lambert. That's the plan.
Oh yeah, and, that's
you know,
good,
he's gonna have plenty to say about yeah life. And
yeah, I had to yeah, yeah, he gonna, yeah, we get maybe get some impressions out of him, I don't know, you know. But yeah, so that's how I feel about it though. Yeah. Cam, what about you?
I think you should keep it up too, because it's also one of the things where you can actually go back and laugh at it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, even true, though it's one of those things where you like shit, but you go, you know what, that motherfucker was funny though.
Yeah, the worst was somebody hit me up, was like, you told me these guys had a great show. I was like, they do, what are you talking about? And I was like,
I feel bad, man.
I went and listened to the episode. I was like, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Listen to the one,
you know,
before. Listen to the one,
like, go
before.
Like, skip around, skip around, yeah, a little bit, you know what I'm saying? It's cool, you know,
bounce around.
Yeah.
You come on a bad day, come a bad day,
right?
We came back with good shit though. We had the Halloween series, which was nuts.
Oh God, it's terrible.
By the way, because Darren Patterson listens to this, fuck you, Darren, for making us watch Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Sleepy ass movie. This Irish midget getting beat up the whole movie. It's
yeah,
weird.
Brandon's afraid to go out of the house because he thinks that people are going to dress him up as a leprechaun and beat him up.
Right.
He's that small.
Yeah, and plus there's always like, plus the other thing is there's always like that, added element of like, maybe you don't like that episode but you stick with it and it can't be no worse than that. So like any other show y'all do, if y'all just happen to go on a tangent about like, I don't know, Emma Stone's titties for 10 minutes, it's not as bad as that Ghostbusters thing. So it's like,
no, it's not. The only
if
way
you stuck
at
me when if you stuck with me no, through that. Oh, go ahead, what'd you say, Brandon?
I said, what titties? I saw La La Land, what you talking about?
Oh yeah, she was I mean, you know what? Beautiful gowns. I don't judge.
Yeah, beautiful gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Oh, yeah. I love her. Like, she's got like a natural, like, pale white girl face. It's very pretty.
Right.
I like it.
Right.
Pale white girl face. But she's skinny.
Yeah, she's a very petite lady. But yeah, my point being, you know, if they go on a tangent about something else, it's kind of like, it can't be as bad as Ghostbusters. So maybe, yeah, maybe it's a good thing, you know?
It really is.
Anytime somebody writes in to complain, you can be like, can't be bad as Ghostbusters. They're like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, good
did you
point.
Listen to the Ghostbuster episode?
Yeah.
Nope. Check that one out. Then go back and complain.
You ain't met us at our lowest.
Right.
But we was talking about the award show. This is my first award show that I've actually watched in a long time because I tapped out all the award shows because I was like, fuck it,
well,
I'm watching.
I actually have more to talk about with the award show. Let me finish introducing the show and we'll get right into that.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, like I said, Medium Popcorn on all the places you find podcasts. Go check them out. Leave them 5-star reviews. They read their reviews on the show. Write them emails. Write them suggestions for horrible movies you want them to watch because they'll actually go out and watch them, not, unlike me. You recommend some horrible shit, your ass is toast on these streets. But you can also check us out, the Blackout Tips, 5-star reviews. We read them as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And yeah, no sponsor today. Yeah, no sponsor today. We can get right into the straight up dope, which is the Golden Globes for last night. Now I'm not gonna give it a blow by blow of the Golden Globes because here's the thing. Unlike the Black Award shows, which I watch every moment, live tweet, make jokes. This was more of a like passive watching for me. Like, I had it on in the background.
And when I heard certain names, it caught my attention.
Yeah, I mean, but essentially, man, I'm just watching this shit like how people watch The Table in Vegas or whatever. Well, I'm just
I'm in the background.
I'm just rooting for my cards, which is like the Black cards. I just want the Black people to win in everything. And if they don't, then I just be like, well, fuck that category. So you know, I can't even front. Like, and I've seen a lot of shit this year as opposed to other years, but yeah, I'm not gonna lie, guys, I was rooting for the Black people and I thought Black people had a pretty good night. They did.
Shout out to Atlanta, man. Shout out to FX for giving Atlanta a platform. Yeah, I mean, that show is incredible, man. I just, you know, I hope they don't let the pressure get to them. Like, you know, like for season two, I hope they just like get into their own world again.
You know,
they just knock out some good shit, man.
Brandon, you do that a lot, man. You worry about the future of things that are good. A lot.
Living
like
the now, baby. Living
yeah, I know. Now. I noticed that on the show. Like, it'll be like, oh yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was so great. I loved it. It was the best Marvel movie I've ever seen. Man, that sequel. I just hope they don't fuck up the sequel, man. You know they gonna fuck it up. I'm like, you know, damn.
I got this from my grandfather, man. My grandfather, like, when I was growing up, he used to be like, yeah, things are good now. But wait until a few years down the road. You know? I'm like, what? That's where my anxiety comes from.
You always got to have something on the back burner because you know hard days are coming, boy. Hard days are coming. That is some old Negro shit to say.
He's like, that is just Game of Thrones ain't even out yet, Papa. How you know about that?
I feel like Brandon just got a cupboard of like canned beans. starch. When times get low, you can just eat the box of starch. You know, just sitting somewhere in his pantry, like, just in case.
Just in case the depression come back.
I've been working. Rich lasts forever.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I've been working 5 jobs the past, like, month and a half, man. Not because I need to, but because I need to just make sure I have some money stashed away when this shit pops off. You know what I mean?
So is it,
I'm ready.
For you, is it almost some type of, like, I don't know. Like, do you get some sort of fulfillment when they do fuck up where you like, I knew it. I was prepared for Transformers 2 to be terrible, and it was.
I'm not going to lie. But Batman v Superman ended up being as shitty as we predicted a year before it came out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I feel good.
You felt vindicated as a fucking conspiracy theorist.
This nigga was Lex Luthor of that movie. He really was rooting against everything. I just wonder about it. It's just because I think it's just a different, you know, approach. You know what I mean? We all have our different approaches to like protect ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, like I can be pessimistic on certain franchises, but I'm more the opposite. Where like you have to beat it out of me. You know what I mean? Where I'll be like, nah, man, the next Superman could be good if you think about it. You know what I'm saying? They got everything out the way. Then when it suck, I'll be like, fuck. And then after, you know, like Suicide Squad or whatever, then I'll just be like, they done did me wrong. Can't nothing be good.
Well, that's why, like, I loved having those guys from Latino Review on, because they have their ears to the ground, the industry, right?
Right.
So when we had Mario telling us, like, oh, yeah, like, we actually know people at Warner Brothers that have told us this shit about DC Films, I was like, oh, yeah, tell me more. Tell me about this train wreck.
Yeah, and me and Roderick are very, very, I guess we're very different. I can't say it. I will tap out quicker than he will. Like, I'm like, you ain't got to hit me but once. That's my motto.
Right.
On a lot of movies. When I'm like, oh, like, this was some bullshit, I'm out. And I won't watch a sequel. I won't watch nothing else to it. Like, what is that terrible ass Tom Hanks movie that they keep doing with the Vatican and all that bullshit?
Oh, yeah. The Dan Brown stories. Yeah. Oh. Inferno, Da Vinci Code. Yeah.
Right. It was funny. Me and Roger both went to the movies to watch the very, very first one. That was the most boring shit I ever seen in my life. Roger kind of liked it. I was like, this is some bullshit, and I haven't watched one since.
I just thought it was okay. Mm-mm. And Karen thought it was terrible, which is fine, because Karen really likes everything.
So if I say it's bad, y'all know it's bad, because Roger said, you love everything. I do. So if I say it's bad, it's bad.
But see, I had this part of me where I can, if I know something's going to be bad, I can flip it in my brain to just enjoy the parts of it I know I'm gonna like. So, like, there's what, 5 Transformer movies?
Mm-hmm.
Right? At this there's point, too many. Right? All right. At this point, what, 4 of them have been not good? I would say 3 to 4 of them have.
Oh, man, the first one was good, man. You got a little right. Shia LaBeouf before he went crazy. You got Megan Fox when she was tight.
That's what. Oh, God. That's what I mean. In every movie, all the women are tight in his movies. I mean, Michael Bay gets right in that crotch. He just. Like, him and the dude from Bang Bros must have the same film degree.
Camera person.
Because that shit, I'll be like, dude, how old is this girl? I don't feel comfortable with this R. Kelly ass video you making.
She was old enough to sign this. That's all that matters.
Transformers 4, he had the close-up of that girl with no ass. I was like, this is uncomfortable. Right.
It was like, and it wasn't just like, oh, here's a close-up of a girl with no ass. It was like, hey, go up on that ladder and reach something so we can put the camera right up your drawers. And then later on, like, after like 2 minutes of the film, it's like they introduce her as the daughter of the main character. You're like, dude, what are you doing, Michael Bay? Jesus Christ.
He's like, hold on, let's go back in that scene. Let's airbrush out her training bra.
Right, yeah. Do you think, excuse me, I know her parents are on the set, but is it okay if we can just really get right in on the nipples on your daughter? I know you had to sign this nipple waiver, please. But
it also didn't help that every character in that movie except for Mark Wahlberg talked about how they wanted to fuck her, which is really
right. It was so bad. Like,
I'm like, dude, you 45.
Right. Your daughter's hot as shit. I'm like, yo, aren't y'all supposed to be fighting Decepticons? Like,
yeah, go fight them.
What's happening right now, Michael Bay? Well, who wrote the script for this shit? the script was written by the same dude that does the pre-interviews for porn. He was just
to do the couch.
Right. When you get them titties? What's the first time you had sex? Oh,
you know what? For that movie, as Brandon would say, she was cream.
listen. All right. If anyone's listened to the Pictures episode, right? Okay, that was a huge brain fart. What I meant to say was Eric LaSalle is like a dream because, you know, he used to be really dreamy, right?
Right.
He's a handsome dude.
He's cream.
For some reason, I was drinking coffee and I was thinking about cream, and then cream came out. It was weird.
That's, you know.
He's just stuck with it. He's just stuck with cream. I'm just like, wait, what?
So you went down with the ship on that one. So my point being, anyway, at this point, I know the movies are bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I can watch them because I'll be like, oh, I'll just pay attention to the big ass robots fighting. That's what I came for anyway.
Yeah, okay.
And then when the humans are on, I just laugh at how terrible the acting and all the script, right? I'm just like, oh, this is fucking shitty.
Yes.
Why did he think this would work? Why did he think any of this would be good? Oh, big robots fighting. It's like I'm winning the whole movie now.
That's true. That and the Jurassic Park. Like, there are movies. Right. That's stuff that I know that is bad, but I still get joy.
Right. Well.
But if you just make me mad, then I'm out.
I'll say this. Jurassic World, yes. The second and third Jurassic Park were terrible. Like, I couldn't find any joy in those. But the last one was great because they fucking made a super intelligent, everything about the dinosaur made it a killing machine.
Yes, it did.
And so you get to laugh at each scene when they unveil some more shit where they're like, well, actually, it can camouflage. Like, what? Yeah, yeah. But don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Talk to them and shit. Don't worry, guys. We got heat sensors on the cage. Well, actually, we gave it something that made it regulate its heat, and it can now turn this heat down so you can't see it. But don't worry, it can't climb. We gave it wings.
but don't worry, we made it smarter than man. What?
Right, yeah. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. We'll trap it on the island, but here's the thing: it's got a driver's license. We gave it a driver's license. Like, it's just
that's the problem with Jurassic World, man. No one, like, that Indian dude just didn't interview BD Wong long enough.
Yeah.
He's like, what'd you make? BD Wong's like, you don't want to know. He's like, you're right, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
He tried to tell him what the put it is. Shit.
He was too busy being charismatic, dog. He ain't had time for that shit. He's like, you know what? I got helicopters to fly. Peace. And just flew off, man. That is literally one of the, that for me anyway, that was one of the greatest movies 2 years ago, because... Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in the theater, man. Cause like other people behind me were like dead fucking serious and intense. Like, oh no, it's got monkey DNA. And I'm like, oh, they put a monkey in it. It's going to kill everybody. It's going to kill everybody. What are you thinking, like, white people?
Everybody's going to die. And I think for me, and maybe because I'm a woman, I laughed when that bitch was running in the motherfucking hill. Oh. I was like, bitch, you can't run from no dinosaur.
In the jungle.
I mean, she was getting it in them heels. I was like, oh, this is some bullshit. What kind of tights do you have on? I didn't see a run in them goddamn tights. What kind of slip you got on? Something wrong with this picture.
She was amazing, dog.
She was getting it.
Them dinosaurs was fucking... Remember when the fucking bird dinosaurs got loose and the people was just chilling in the food court? Oh, it was so good.
I mean, all these white people gonna die.
They were playing zero games.
Right. And it was like no black people on the island, which is I got the root just unabashedly for death. Just like, kill them all. Fuck them. Yes. They just rich 1%ers. Yes. They voted for Trump. You know, let them die. I love that movie.
And I think one
of they deserve to die, and I hope they're rotten.
That movie made my day, because the one where the, the dinosaur picked her up, and then that dinosaur got ate by a big ass whale. I was like, well, goddamn, she died twice.
Oh, such a great movie.
I was all in.
I couldn't, it was only when I got on Twitter that I realized everybody thought it was bad. Cause I was like,
man. Justin and I saw that together. I think that was our first episode we did together for Medium Popcorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part is when, like, they're all like, you use the raptors to hunt the
Adonis
Rex, whatever, right? And then they turn around. After they talk to the Adonis Rex and they realize it's a raptor, too.
Yes!
All the raptors just stare at them. They're like, oh, shit. They just turned on us.
And it was like, the thing was, nobody knew what the fuck it could do until it happened on the screen. So it wasn't like they were prepared. It's like they were like, all right, what we gonna do? We're gonna use the raptors to hunt it down. We're gonna quarter it off. And then we're gonna trap it on this part of the island. We're gonna kill it. All right, cool. Then they get out there and it's like, they're like, oh shit, it's a raptor. Like, why didn't any scientist tell somebody at this point? Like, scientists should have been like, hey man, look, it's a raptor, it's a human, the secret plan behind all this is that it's actually buying up stock so that it can take over the company. Like, give us all the details ahead of time. Stop telling us one thing at a time. It's like, here's a heat seeking gun, but it can't hit the dinosaur because it could change heat. Why didn't you tell me that before you gave me this fucking useless gun? Oh, great
on
movie.
On top of that, it's got TSA pre-check. I don't know, guys.
It's all right. I checked it and it hacked our accounts, guys. It's leaking the DNC documents.
I know.
But like Yahoo, hold on.
It's Edward Snowden, guys. The dinosaur is Edward Snowden.
Yeah. Jurassic World 2, the dinosaur just gonna be president. He's gonna come back in a world where dinosaurs are president. It's gonna talk English.
Yo, shout out to Justice from the Get Down. That actor is actually gonna be in Jurassic World 2 real quick.
Yes, good man.
So we got a brother in Jurassic World 2.
I hope you don't now.
Right. Just like Samuel Jackson in Jurassic Park.
We never got confirmation that he actually died. He lost the arm, but we never got full confirmation that he did.
You lose an arm out in the jungle, your ass is dead, nigga.
Right. They did. It did.
What have I done? jungle. I know enough about the jungle to know if you lose a damn arm, your ass is dead. The dinosaurs out there, they smell that blood, homie. They're coming for you.
You know what's wild is that they didn't even, like, shut the park down after that accident. Mm-hmm. It never came back up.
No.
That was a major, that would have, like, at least shut down production at a factory.
You're not fucking up no money. They like, nah, we just cording this off, you know, put a little rope around here and tell people not to go in this section.
Right. Well.
I thought that was hilarious. Then yeah. They just kept it up. They were just like, yeah, just move the park over there. Move it down the road.
Right.
Nobody would see that.
What about the other dinosaur island? What? Another one? Let's just have a park there for people to die at. All right.
That was a long rant about Jurassic Park.
Yep.
I'm just saying. It's a great movie. So they had different awards. Best performance by actress in television series, musical, comedy. Our girl, Tracy L. Ass Ross, won that joint. Congratulations. First black woman to win in 44 years.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yep. That was wild.
Black, man. That's going to be my life in 10 years, man. I couldn't ask for a better show.
Yeah, it's so good.
It really is gonna be my life in 10 years.
Well, you have those money kids.
That to be your life, because you know they got good money on that.
I'm working 5 jobs, Justin. I'm making it work.
You gonna have
spending it just as quick as you get it.
Gonna have those adorable children.
I know, ain't they so adorable?
Right.
We met the oldest daughter.
Well, we walked by her. I wouldn't say we met her.
No.
You know what's funny about the kids? When the Blackish first came out, Mike Brown was like, he called me. He's like, yo. Been watching Blackish, and Junior, I understand you fully now because of Junior.
Oh, really?
Because that's such a weird kid and stuff. He's like, I get it now. I do like you are the way you are.
See, Blackish bringing the black community together one episode at a time, man. So yeah, she won, man. I thought that was awesome. Obviously, I was rooting for her.
Yeah,
she looked beautiful too.
Oh yeah, man. When they showed the shot from the back of the dress, I was like, God
she's
damn.
Beautiful.
L-ass, dog.
El Monet.
Mm. Oh God, no, let's not talk about Janelle. Let's not talk about Janelle.
Like gravy on.
Stop, Brandon. Stop, Brandon.
It was cream.
Stop yourself.
cream and biscuits.
100% cream.
Shout out random shit. That's what I thought we were doing.
Oh, no. We keep it on topic. Best actress in a leading role in a series, limited series, basically a miniseries. Sarah Paulson won for her portrayal as Marcia Clark.
She deserved that. She played the hell out of everyone.
Yeah, she's good enough.
Yeah, all those people in that series did a good job. Except for, you know, obviously Travolta, Theo, and that nigga from Friends. Everybody else was like that person from that point on. And you really couldn't tell me nothing different.
I like how you you referred to David Schwimmer as that nigga from Friends.
Yeah, you know. That's what his name is. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. David Schwimmer.
Except Ross. Everybody did good except for Ross.
Yeah, he was, somebody last night was like, no, he was good, Rod. He played the innocence of him. I was like, he just made him seem stupid to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just seemed like a dumbass.
Oh, come on, Juice.
Right. OJ, I found a glove that was bloody and it said, a note that said, I definitely killed Nicole. OJ, just tell me the truth. Did you do it? Nah, I didn't do it. Okay, that's enough for me. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. I still feel like they made all that up.
No, what's great about this whole thing is OJ has been in jail for how many years now? And OJ has obviously been at the bottom for so long, yet he's still making people money.
Still.
He's still rich all over this world.
Mm-hmm.
They just got him.
Yep.
Forever.
He killed some people, and now everybody else making a killer.
Yes, they are.
Olivia Colman. Olivia Colman won for The Night Manager.
I never seen
Didn't
that.
See it.
Didn't watch it either.
Don't plan on seeing it. Mm-mm.
By the way, some of these series, whenever they would name something, and I was like, oh yeah, the one that I don't know anyone who watched, that's the one that's gonna win. Like with some of these, I was like, in The Night Manager, I was like, they finally made a movie about that time I worked at Wendy's. I mean, I guess. Best performance by actress in a TV series or drama, Claire Foy won for The Crown, which I didn't watch, but I know a lot of people.
My mom said it's pretty good. She's into, yeah. But she's into that Elizabethan shit and all that stuff.
Ah, okay.
I got 1.5 episodes in. I said I'm good.
Yeah.
Is all I could take.
She was too skinny for my liking. I want my white girls with a little more filling.
Yeah, her teeth are too good to be British.
Okay. Yeah, my thing is sometimes shit just look too white from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. I was like, this ain't real white, yep, so I'm gonna wait.
Yep, sometimes I just tap out.
I need like 12 people to give it a 5 out of 5 before I'm like, okay, I guess I'll see it, you know?
Mm-mm-mm. And even then, I'm still looking like, nope, that's still all white milk, ain't no chocolate, I'm good.
Ain't enough cream for me.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in the series limited. Hugh Laurie won for The Night Manager. This one's kind of a cool.
Sterling K. Brown, man. Come on.
Yeah, say that again. I'm sorry. You got cut off a little
bit. Sterling K. Brown, he needs all those awards, man. Every single one. I don't care that he won an Emmy. He needs every single. Like, I've never reached out to an actor directly, like on Twitter or nothing, to be like, I appreciate what you did. When he did the one episode that was all about him dealing with, like, being the black dude on the team and taking the fall for everything, I tweeted him. I was like, yo, you don't know who I am. I've never done this before, but you fucking rocked it tonight.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Emotional. That shit was great, bro.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was a thing for me, man. It's weird, right? Because Sterling K. Brown's in this, and he was in This Is Us on NBC, which is also great.
That's a good show.
It's fucking great.
That's
yeah.
what everybody said.
That's what everyone keeps saying.
Everyone keeps
it's by the dude who did Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means,
It's fucking amazing. Here's the thing though, right? I had never heard of this nigga until last year.
Yeah.
That is wild, cause like, that shit happens with black people a lot.
Yeah, he's probably been around for years, but.
It's not like he probably learned how to act last year and it just went together. It's just, sometimes you just put in that grind for years and then you finally get your shot.
It's
but
happy for him right now, man.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like I'm happy for that dude, but it makes me wonder like, where do I gotta go to find out his old work now? I gotta go to IMDb because I'm like, clearly this brother's been excellent for quite some time.
Yeah.
To be able to hold this shit down.
And I think. I'm sorry. And I think for us, for brown people, overnight success means you've been doing this shit 10, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
For white people, overnight success literally means overnight success. Yeah. I'm a comedian. I can put out a few jokes. Now I'm got a TV show. You're literally an overnight success. You didn't put in the grind.
Yeah.
You know, not all the time, but for some people, it's who you know. You really don't put in the grind. You don't sacrifice. But it's rare that you see any person, any minority person that quote unquote is an overnight success. A lot of times white people call them overnight because y'all don't know who the fuck they are. But they've been around for a very long ass time.
Yeah, putting in that grind.
Overnight success for black people in this business is probably about like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Because like Michael Che is almost like an overnight success.
But that motherfucker been grinding forever.
He's a unique example though, fuck a black artist, I would say.
No, but I mean, that's the closest thing you have to an overnight success. But like it, for the most part, if you want to look at Ali's catalog and be like, oh, has he been in before? He's probably has played a thug in many a BET movie or something like that. I mean, because that's just, you know, that's what we're giving.
That's what the
for so
are.
Long.
I've even played a thug in some shit.
What?
This guy playing a thug.
No way. No way, man.
You know,
you've been thug number two?
Some stuff, like some little videos and shit back in the day. It was bad. I'll show y'all a clip.
Guys,
it's embarrassing.
Times I've played a rapist. I've played some a drug dealer. I've gotten somebody pregnant. I mean, you know, it's all the stereotypical shit. That's the stuff you have to do just to somebody just like, wait a second.
Hold up. Who cast you as a thug, Brandon? I need to know.
It was just like, you know, that. I was doing a lot of auditions and stuff, but like they needed some thugs.
And then Justin, how did they tell you you're gonna be a rapist? Like, do you go out? Do you go out for that? Like, do they like? Are you typecast as a rapist? Are they like, oh, this nigga got a rapey ass face?
Yeah.
Listen, nigga need money, okay?
Right.
There's a role, and they're like, oh, they're looking for black people. It's just like, well, whatever it is, I'm gonna rock it, dude. But I'll tell you one thing: when I had to do that scene. Mm-hmm. Probably is nothing has ever affected me more because I felt like a piece of shit. Obviously I didn't actually rape the girl,
right?
But like, you know, after, because like that scene is so, it's even though you're not doing it, it feels like you are doing something terrible to a woman, and you just feel like a piece of garbage. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. She's like, no, it's fine. I'm just like, I'm gonna walk away now.
Taking a dark turn, man.
No, but seriously, it's hard. Rape scenes, that's not easy.
That should have been in the black acting school. You know,
black acting school.
Because like I remember, fucking Lawrence Fishburne played a rapist in one of them goddamn Dead Wish movies. Like,
oh, you mean what's love got to do with it?
This is one of the Charles Bronson joints. And it was like, it wasn't just him. It was like him and like Jeff Goldblum. Like, just two, and they this before they were big names.
Right.
But they were just playing like, that mean they went into a fucking place at audition for like gang member rapists. One in five or whatever. And they fucking landed the roles. But that's what they had to do to get rent that month.
Yeah, but sometimes you gotta do like these random gigs, man. I remember when I did the Love and Hip Hop commercial, because Jim Jones had dropped out, so they needed someone to fill in the studio. And like, if you go back and look for season two Love and Hip Hop commercial with Olivia singing in the booth, I'm the dude in the studio across from her pushing up the volumes and shit. Like, it was weird. You never know what you're gonna get called for, man.
Yeah, they wanted me to be Ray J. For loving hip hop, the
Hollywood,
LA. Hollywood, yeah,
what
Hollywood. Wait, they want you to be Ray J?
They wanted me to stand in. Ray J stand in.
Oh, wow, that's fucking
crazy.
That's
how you know it's not real. They need stand-ins,
right?
It's a reality show.
Yeah, it's a reality show, and they're like, listen, you got the blocking all wrong, okay? I don't know. Were you here at rehearsal when she threw the drink in your face? Okay.
All right, pay attention.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing, dog. And, like, you know, I'm looking at Sterling K. Brown's, like, IMDb right now. Mm-hmm. 2002, he was in Brown Sugar. He played Coworker.
Dang, it's a coworker!
Damn. He played Hidden Agenda in a TV series called Hack. Hidden Agenda? That's not even like a name. That's a thing. That's a concept. You know what I mean? He was in ER for one episode. Tarzan.
Which Tarzan?
The 2003 Tarzan.
With Brendan Fraser?
No, that's with Casper Van Dien.
Oh, wow.
Brendan Fraser was George of the Jungle.
Oh, you're right. All right, same
shit.
Ooh,
we should do that movie for...
That sounds, I mean, yes, you guys should do that. Yeah, y'all please do that, actually. Yeah, please do that. But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, and that's since 2002, man. So I'm like, I mean, we're just now hearing of him in 2016, 2017. And it's not just that he's good. He's like, I thought he was going to win an award, or he should have won an award.
Me too.
He's so fucking good. I was mad that he didn't win. In all fairness, I didn't watch The Night Manager. It's possible it's really the greatest TV show of all time. I just missed it. But yeah, I feel like he should have won for People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Yep.
And then Tom Hiddleston won for The Night Manager as well as the lead.
Worst speech ever.
Right. And that pissed me off so bad because he won over Courtney B. Vance. Fuck
right.
You. Yeah. Come on, dog. That nigga is Johnny Cochran. Like, he can't go nowhere on the street without people feeling like he's Johnny Cochran. Now, when people close their eyes and imagine Johnny Cochran's face, they're gonna really be imagining Courtney B. Vance. That's extremely heartbreaking. He didn't win.
Yeah, but the plus side is he already won the Emmy, so right. He got the big prize, and he just got some free booze last night. That's pretty much what it.
I still want him to win both. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that thing where was Stallone won that year, and he forgot to mention the black people that was in Creed. And the black ass director, and people were like, well, don't worry, he'll win the Oscar, he can do it then. It's like, well, what happened? Because he didn't win the Oscar. You know what I mean?
He probably didn't win the Oscar because he omitted those people. And
right.
He got the wrong kind of controversy after that.
I want my black people to win everything, dog.
Me too.
For best performance by an actor in a television series, Donald Glover won for Atlanta.
Yep.
And this is a little weird because obviously I was rooting for him. Duh.
Me too.
But, it was weird because I feel like you can make just as much a case for like the other two dudes. The dude who plays Paperboy, I think it's like Brian Tyree Henry or something like that. Like, you can make just as much a case for him, like, because he's like, his comedic timing is fucking
excellent.
another dude. How the fuck I never heard of this dude before?
Ever.
Like, he's
a skinny black guy? Yeah, he's been in, he was in Short Term 12. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's Snoop Dogg and Straight Outta Compton.
That's Darius.
What's his name? Keith Steinfeld or something like that?
Yeah, what about a dude that plays Paperboy?
Yeah, we're talking about, I'm talking about David.
Oh, he was in Principles on HBO.
Right, that's the first, I heard of him was Brian Tyree Henry. First time I heard of him was last year at Vice Principals and then Atlanta. You see what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's just weird shit like that where it's just like, oh, like, damn, this, like, how do I not know about this guy? He seems fucking like an amazing actor. He's funny and everything. Say that again.
I think he has a Grammy for Book of Mormon. He's part of the original cast.
Really? Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Well, that dude's a fucking powerhouse. So he could have, I mean, at any rate, I'm glad Donald Glover won because obviously, you know, that's an amazing series. And it's more like a achievement for the whole series for him to win, I think, because there's like an episode where he's not even really in it that much. Like a couple where he's kind of like in the background. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great show.
That show introduced me to Zazie Beetz, who
plays Van.
I read about every day.
Yeah, Van is a beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. I saw on Twitter somebody had a picture of her where she like is raising her arm and you can tell she has like some underarm hair, like it's not all the way shaved.
I'm all for it. I'm fine with that.
Right, yeah. Right. And I saw some nigga being like, see, y'all tried to say she was bae, but look at this. I was like, look at what, nigga? I will stick my nose in that. I don't give a fuck. Are you crazy? I would lick her under her hair, dog. I mean, she is fine as fuck.
I mean, peach fuzz ain't never...
all kinds of things.
Right.
Oh, Lord. I'm just going to stay quiet because I don't want to have to say something that I'm going to have to regret later.
You know, cream. And people act like peach fuzz ain't never killed nobody. Peaches, they got fuzz on.
Right. It's just, you know, niggas be stupid on the internet. She would walk by that dude 100 times out of 100.
Come on, wouldn't even think twice about right. you.
Shout out to Tony Styles for saying that he will braid her underarm.
Listen, not just braid it. I will sit on the front porch stoop and braid it for the whole neighborhood to see because I don't give a fuck. She is fine. And also, man, she just had an incredibly tough job. But I love that show had opportunities for her to get to be funny too. Because a lot of times, that's when I knew that series was next level. Because a lot of times when men have series and they write women in, they end up writing the same. Don't go out and get drunk, you know, type role for the woman. You end up kind of hating the woman because the only role she has in the series is to show up and be like, I see you guys are doing something comedic. Stop it. You know what I mean?
Right. And women are
it's
very
like, oh, here comes the buzzkill.
That's exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. So with her like getting high and shit and the whole like
that was an excellent episode
turning into
she
G
got fire at the end. Yeah that was, yeah that was good
up. Turning into Jeezy on the stove to make that baby urine
didn't shit though
work.
Yo, that show just is like so creative. I mean, like the episode where they had just the talk show, the weird commercials in between.
B.A.N., dog.
And they had the transracial dude who was like, yeah, we can make him white.
Yeah, weird. he's gonna look weird when he's looking in the mirror. He's like, what IPAs do you have on tap? Oh man, so fucking good. Billy Bob Thornton won for a show called Goliath that's on like I want to say Amazon or something.
I won't be watching it.
Nobody's seen it.
I don't even think Billy Bob Thornton's seen that show.
Yeah, that was the worst.
See Bad Santa too?
No, I heard it was bad.
Yeah, I watched it one night. It's. I mean, personally, the first one I kind of everybody says, "Oh, that's awesome." It's like still, nah.
So you weren't into the first one, so of course you probably
not
didn't
really.
Like the second one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I liked the first one, but I just can't imagine. I heard bad things about the second one. Here's the thing. He won, and this is one where I'm like, over Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul and over Rami Malek for Mr. Robot? Like,
yeah,
it sounds like... I haven't seen it, so maybe it's great,
sounded like they was like, oh, he older than the rest of them. I know who that is, click.
Yeah, shit like that makes me wonder how much of it is about just trying to be different from the other shows. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. It's not obvious that Sterling K. Brown and Courtney B. Vance should have won. It's not obvious. Like, I don't know, man. So, yeah, he won.
The Hollywood Foreign Press, they're all foreigners, so they all be picking their own shit. They all be watching Amazon instead of normal TV shows.
They like, yeah, just like, I don't watch This Is Us Live because it comes on at 3 a.m. over here.
True, yeah.
Where can I stream it?
Now, of course, Best TV Limited Series, The People vs. O.J. Simpson did win that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty.
Even though the Night Of is good, man. Night Of will get all the Emmys and shit, but yeah, but you can't go against.
It's just bad luck for everybody in that category.
Yeah, because the thing about The People vs. O.J. Simpson, it was literally the talk of the summer. Like, that's what everybody, and then it was like, 10, 12 weeks straight or something like that? Like, it was the bubble.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
And then you had what was amazing about that series was, one, I remember after the first episode, I think they showed like the first one was like an hour and a half or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember people being like, oh, well, this is going to suck. This isn't. You know, everybody was panning it, and then by the fucking like fourth or fifth one, everybody's like, "This is what are you doing today? Stop what you're doing and watch this shit."
Because it was trending, and I can really speak for myself being alive at that time. It's amazing seeing facts, and because I was a child, so it's shit that came out. I was like, I didn't know that was happening. Like, I didn't know that her ex-husband released news about her. You know, I didn't, like, it's certain things that I didn't know.
Yeah, he fucking put her titties out there for the world to see.
I know, he was Marsha Clark.
Fire printed those titties.
Yeah, them were some nice titties. Here's the thing that's amazing, though, like, part of the reason I didn't know all this shit back then is because, like, we didn't have the internet.
No, we didn't.
I wasn't of the age where I sat down and watched cable news every day. I do remember the trial being on, like, on for the first time, it was like a trial being on TV, like, put it on the OJ trial, you know what I mean? But, things have just changed so much. Like, now, if a trial like that happened and, like, her nudes leaked, it would be everywhere. Like, it wouldn't be like, I find this out 12 years later. It would immediately be Facebook would be trending, it'll be Twitter, it'd be trending, like, motherfuckers would be
memes of it.
Yeah, yes. Motherfuckers put the crying Jordan face on her and shit. Like, it's just, everything's changed so much. Like, it was as much of a show about the time period as it was about the crime, you know?
Yeah, cause I remember the Bronco chase, and I remember getting mad that they took the NBA finals and stuck it in the goddamn corner with a box in the box. I was like, what the fuck? I'm gonna watch my goddamn.
Now it almost sounds ridiculous that black people would be so fucking like, yay, OJ. Like, now it sounds ridiculous because it's like, on the internet, nobody's yay anything. Like, there's black, like, you can go on the internet right now and there's a black person that's gonna tell you, like, how Black Lives Matter is bullshit. Like, there's always, like, a diversity of opinion now. But back then, it was very limited resources and people didn't have their own Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts and shit. So it was very much like, them crackers did what to OJ, you know?
Yes,
it was just so easy to do that. Cause how the fuck you gonna get any mixed information when everything's coming from like the National Enquirer or CNN? It was just such a different time.
Yeah.
And it was just after the Rodney King and everything. So racial divide, everything was
right.
Crazy.
And a lot of people were mad. They were angry. And I'm not gonna lie, a lot of my family was like, I don't give a fuck if he did it or not. I want him to be not guilty.
Oh, no, I was definitely in that camp, like, at the time. I was like, oh, yeah, let that nigga go. He didn't do it. Y'all framing him. You know, I was in that camp.
You know what's crazy, though, is the 5-part ESPN series about
Legend.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally the opposite of how to, you know, making a murderer. It's like, oh, no, this dude did it.
Yeah, yeah, it's what if a man did it? What if a man did it and he didn't get convicted? You know what I mean? But what was wild, though, is so like, I remember that time period, but then I also remember when the verdict was announced, they played it in our school. Like, our TV, it was on the TV in our classroom, which another thing I can't imagine happening in 2017. Like, maybe people would be looking at it on their phones, but I can't imagine motherfuckers being like, stop social studies, guys. It's time to watch OJ. And I remember motherfuckers running down the hallway my class, like, knocking on the door, like, we did it. We did it.
They was going room to room. I remember that. And they was literally running up and down the hallway with their shirts off. Cause you know, the high school students going from room to room, talking about, that nigga free!
And I think that was the moment where.
Helicopter.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, it is North Carolina.
I think we're all gonna get money the next day.
Right. And I think that was the moment when I was like, oh yeah, this is terrible. Like, if he did that, that's pretty bad. Like, whatever happened, if he did it, we definitely shouldn't have been celebrating. Like, it's one thing to be like, it's one thing to be like, oh man, an innocent person got off, but I very quickly realized it was not about whether he was innocent or not no more. It was just like, whether he did it or not, we got away with killing some white folks. And it was like, uh-oh.
Y'all ever think that Trump is reparations for OJ?
nah, cause, I mean, if we look at the balance sheet of America, I feel like we're owed a lot more before we get to Trump. Like, they owe us a lot more in the books than this.
If you really think about it, there's only been two things that have been that big of a small. OJ being one of them. The other one was 9/11. That's the only things that's ever, like, stopped everything in news and shut everything down like that.
Right. I mean, 9/11. When they do their eventual miniseries on 9/11, that shit gonna win everything that year too.
Yep.
You know. All right.
I mean, both of y'all put Nicolas Cage in it.
Of course not. The best television series was The Crown. Once again, I feel like this is trying to be different because it beat Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, This Is Us, and Westworld.
Right.
Yeah, I was so mad when it beat Stranger Things. I'm like, come on, y'all gonna beat the most creative show this year? Fuck out. Right.
So ridiculous. Whatever.
I literally went outside and kicked rocks for the HBC.
Yeah, at this, like, I think it was around this time that I was like, these awards are the, Black people winning awards they deserve, or white people winning awards where we've never heard of their shows. Like, it seemed like that's how the categories was falling after a while. It was just like, oh, that black person did a great job. Like, oh, that's why he won. And it's like, and this person, you ever heard of them? No. You ever watched their show? No. Well, that's why they won.
All right.
Some woman, best motion picture, foreign language was L. Didn't watch any of those, I don't think. Yeah, so I can't complain.
I used to be really into foreign films, but I just, like, I got the movies are too expensive these days. I can't be reading subtitles and paying money. You know? It's just not economical, you know.
Not gonna happen.
Best original song was winner was City of Stars for La La Land, I guess.
Which is a million and a half.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I saw La La Land. I don't think I was nearly as blown away with it as other people
were. Did you see Moana?
I have not seen Moana yet.
The goal is to see that.
So the whole thing is, I think Lin-Manuel is going to win that category for Oscar. Because if he wins that, he got an EGOT.
Okay, yeah.
Because Moana, he has like a bunch of songs for that. And, you know, it's like the whole Let It Go. Yeah. He's got that woman anthem song that every Disney movie has.
Well, I hope he wins.
He has a good shot.
I hope he wins because I want to see him do the pretentious I'm still going to rhyme in my acceptance speech moment at the Oscars. That nigga always be doing spoken word, man.
I'm here for it.
That motherfucker will hop up anywhere.
No, Karen, you can't be there for it all the time.
Right, yeah.
you can be a fan of his, but you can't be there for him all the time. Just say some words and get off stage, man. You don't have to like start crying and show us your eyes that are all tired and shit.
It's at the point where I feel like if I saw him in the regular life, he would start dropping shit and iambic pentameter. Like, that nigga would just start dropping bars. I'd be like, oh, Lemon, I'm a big fan. He'd be like, oh, today we have another brother today. I'm like, hold up, man. I just wanted to come over and say hi. Hi, you say? Hi, I may. Like, oh, I gotta go. We trapped in a weird rhyme scheme. Best motion picture animated was Zootopia, which is a great one.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm glad that really won. Good. That was very good.
Yeah. That was my
first
man.
First time a bunny and a fox made me cry.
My man John Minus was watching it for the first time this weekend, and he was like, everybody was right. It is about racism.
It is. The whole movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like 1,000%, dog.
They furry, but it's still racism.
Original score for a movie, La La Land won. I thought that was a shoe-in. Yeah. You know, it's the only one of the ones that
The best part about the movie, honestly, besides the visuals, is probably like the music.
Yeah, you want to know what's...
Instrumental music, not the singing.
Yeah, well, you want to know what's... part of it. You know what's wild about this, Brandon? I feel like they tricked us, man. Cause I watched that movie and only like the first hour is singing and shit. And then it just turns to a regular ass movie. I was like, oh, this is some bullshit. And then like the last 2 minutes you get a little bit of a musical. I'm like, but that y'all missed like an hour and a half of songs. What happened? Yeah. Care about this sad shit.
I am not interested in The Crown. I'm not also not interested in La La Land because those are just two movies that basically are talking about the times where black people didn't exist to white people. So I have no desire to watch
John Legend's in La La Land.
He is. John Legend is in here.
He's good too, man. I told you I don't discriminate against. If he's a handsome man, I'm going to say he's a handsome man. John Legend look good.
He had his hairline fixed.
His shirt open, all his taco meat spilling out.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't really. He had a little bit of it in there, but the thing for me was I was like, this still makes me feel like it's this is why people voted for Trump, because the only Negroes that spoke played jazz in the movie. I was like, y'all ain't just got like a nigga roommate or something, just like a regular ass. It's like no other nigga works at Starbucks. It's just the only nigga you know play jazz. That's every last.
So put it, Craig Robinson's just like Ryan Gosling's best friend. Like, oh, you gonna go over to that jazz club over there, nigga?
Right. Yeah, I could have used that.
You gonna play piano?
You know.
Excuse me while I polish my trumpet.
Yeah.
I heard Justin Brown's really good in this La La Land movie. You get that Oscar heat.
Yeah, I could have used
some more salmon, sir.
Cause see, if you could have had Craig Robinson as his like best friend, he could have played a little piano. You know what I mean? Without it having to be, you know, like I play jazz, he could have just been hanging around playing shit on his piano, like as his friend. But yeah, he wasn't in there. So, La La Land did win for best screenplay as well.
Over Moonlight, which is crazy.
Right? Dog. If anything, Moonlight screenplay, like just, I hadn't even seen a movie like that before.
Yeah. No.
It took me like two acts before I was like, oh, it's the same nigga, but he different. You know what I mean?
Me too, don't feel bad.
I was like, who the fuck is this kid? Why do we care about him?
I worry about you sometimes, man.
I was like, why are we following this thing?
Another nigga?
It's three movies in one? What the fuck? That shit was brilliant, though. That's the best movie I saw this year, honestly.
Dude. I mean, like, even, like, Hell or High Water has a better script than La La Land. La La Land, I feel like probably the script is actually 30 pages.
Yeah, it's so straightforward. It's a couple musical numbers. I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm kind of burned out on the movie genre of white people trying to live their most perfect dream. You know how black movies are like, you just got to survive to get out the hood.
Yeah.
And then white movies are like, I mean, I'm gonna leave my $100 million hour job, and I think I want to go play saxophone. You're like, what?
Because I want more.
Right.
More.
I mean, listen, I am playing jazz.
Home with you, son, of this life.
Yeah. Don't you get tired of just accepting less, mom? That's why I like Creed, because that nigga was like, he had it made, and then he still was like, I'm gonna go box. I was like, you know what? It's about time a black person got to make dumb decisions.
And you got Sylvester Stallone over here like, man, I'm about to die.
Yeah.
You want to do this?
Because I got brain damage. Why you want to be like me?
Yeah, I don't want to train you. I don't got health insurance. Then best performance by actor in a motion picture, Ryan Gosling won for La La Land. Surprisingly, Ryan Reynolds was nominated for Deadpool.
I thought he might have won when she, I think the announcer, she was like, Ryan, and then she paused, and I was like, oh shit, Ryan Reynolds won?
Right.
And then it was Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
But then he had that speech that made all the girls cream their pants and shit.
Cream.
Yeah.
You know,
best girl.
I forget that he's married to Eva Mendes, though, so congrats to him.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Eva Mendes is banging.
What about the flubs by Sofia Vergara?
What? I thought that was on purpose about the anus.
I thought that was on purpose too.
Yeah.
Was that a sketch? That's why you need to watch the show, man.
Yeah. It was on purpose. Yeah.
That's the only way she makes white people laugh for some reason. She has to be a caricature of herself for
some
reason.
She even winked at the camera. Yeah, she did that on purpose.
Yeah, you don't know what's fucked up about that though, is I did think, I hope people don't start writing think pieces about how it's not funny to laugh at her for doing that. Cause I was like, she's doing it as a comedic thing on purpose. But I remember that other time when she was at the awards and they spun her around and talked about how if you're against diversity and women, then we would never have Sofia Vergara as an actress. So you're against Sofia Vergara's banging ass. And everybody was like, they objectified her. It was wrong. She didn't even get to use. And I was just like, are y'all serious? Cause y'all let Tina Fey and them pull their titties out and y'all just be like, they're so brave. These are the bravest women. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and Lena Dunham, bravest women of all time.
Wow.
I was like, anyway.
Pull out her titty. That was for women.
Right.
Not for men.
For all women.
Sophia Vergara been listed as hot Spanish girlfriend in so many movies, like Four Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chasing Poppy.
Chasing Poppy? What? Is that like Hidden Fences?
You know, it's so funny because when I went to go see Fences, pursuant to Fences was just like, you know, I was waiting for the movie about the space to start up. I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, what's wrong with you?
You need a friend, man. You about to be 55 years old. You need to get your life together.
You keep it up, Brandon.
I feel like,
I'm 55 now. Okay.
Although I do hope when I get the chance to see Hidden Figures that they say nigga as much as Denzel did in that opening scene, because that would be awesome. Man. I don't think Disney would allow it.
By the way, Hidden Figures number one at the box office this weekend.
Over Star Wars, man.
I know it was close.
Can't wait to go see that movie, though.
And the thing about it, and I told Roger this, they're number one, and they're in 40% less theaters.
Right. They're killing it. Viola Davis won for Fences.
Of course.
You know, so that was...
Those boogers were undeniable. Those crying boogers that she gave you, undeniable.
I mean, I do feel kind of like... We should probably check her to see if she's had performance enhancing surgery to take out her mucous membrane, so that she can do crying with her nose and eyes at the same time. Cause something about, I don't know, it feels like she might have had a game rigged right now. It's really unfair.
She is the queen of the crying monologue, bro. Doubt.
Yeah.
The hope. And that, she is the queen of that kind of monologue.
Man, she killed Denzel, man. Like,
yeah,
and it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't like phoning in Denzel. Like Denzel put on weight for that role and shit. Like he really tried to win something with that. And in just that one scene, she absolutely just erased everything he did for me. I was like, oh yeah, you right. You the queen. You the queen.
Yeah, I really liked her speech too. When she was like, you know, my dad, he had like a very, you know, low education.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with his hands and, you know, there's not many stories that tell his story. Mm-hmm. But because of Fences, you know, August Wilson, he was able to have a story. And I was like, that's true. Cause there's so many brothers that they have these lives that don't really get talked about. And Justin and I, on the Fences episode, talked about his father. I talked about my grandfather and how they just, these guys, they have these lives that don't really get told in movies.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You know, because they're not thought as eventful or going to be a draw to people. It's like, that's why I'm really fucking with August Wilson plays these days.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, unless your story is set around the civil rights movement or you are a slave, it doesn't seem like black people exist in the movies.
Yeah. At least, or, I mean, well, hold up now. You are skipping the whole genre of surviving the hood. So we have that as well.
Yeah, you got gang violence or trying to be a rapper. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Or you're playing
ball player.
Some sport trying to get to the league.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, you know, you can survive the hood, survive slavery, or survive civil rights. I mean, there's a lot of options out here. Just pick one. But yeah, now that movie was excellent because of that, because it was kind of like a background of like, well, yeah, there's segregation or whatever the fuck's going on in the background, but that's not the point of this movie. So that was cool. And plus, you know, Denzel was great in it. It's just Viola Davis is just, I mean, that was the scene when she was like, when she said that, I've been standing right beside you and like spit and shit was going everywhere. I was like, yeah, she won. Just give it up. Best performance by actor in supporting role, Aaron Tyler Johnson won for Nocturnal Animals. I haven't seen it. I heard it was terrible. All
right. So here's the thing. The movie is terrible, right? That guy was like a great villain. He didn't deserve to be Mahershala Ali by a long shot, right?
Mm.
But I will say this. If they ever think about recasting the Joker or they cast the Riddler in the new DCU,
mm-hmm.
he would be a good fit for that. Because he was a fucking evil person in that movie.
I had to check it out, man.
It's my two cents. The movie's whack, though.
Yeah, the movie's not great, but he was actually pretty damn good.
I saw Fisher was kind of high on that, though.
Who?
Huh?
Who was in it? I was trying to see what name it was.
She's the redhead chick from the Wedding Crashers.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the movie. I really did want to know who you said. I just saw fucking Nightcrawler. It's on Netflix. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays this creepy dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's so creepy in that.
Yo, did he win something for that? Because he should have.
No, he didn't get nominated for nothing, man. Jake Gyllenhaal is one of those underrated actors, yeah. Man, because he brings it, no matter how shitty the role might be, but he brings it, man.
Man.
You ever End of Watch?
I haven't seen End of Watch.
You never saw End of Watch?
Is it good?
You gotta see that one. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, okay.
Him and Michael Pena.
Okay.
Really right. Good.
Is Anthony Mackie in that or no?
No, you're thinking about the one with Anthony Mackie's like the dirty cop and shit. With
yeah.
Casey Affleck,
I'm getting who, yeah.
We're gonna talk about it.
You mean the white Nate Parker? Anyway, Casey Affleck won Manchester by the Sea for best performance by an actor in a motion picture.
I won't be seeing that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did y'all see that movie?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I watched it twice because my mom got a screener of it and they wanted to watch it. After seeing that, after I saw Fences and a bunch of other movies, La La Land, all that shit, I'm like, he's giving really nothing. Mm. Like, compared to, like, Denzel has monologues on top of monologues. At least Ryan Gosling shows that he's a talented person. Casey Affleck just mopes the whole movie.
Yeah, oh, that's another thing I'm sick of these days, yo. We gotta stop giving people Oscars for being quiet. You know what I mean? Like, they be giving people awards, and I'm like, but no acting actually happened, because the whole acting, quote-unquote, in this movie is not reacting. That's not really a choice. Like, you know, it's like, don't you understand I'm leaving you? Fine. I'm like, nigga, that's not acting. I can do that. That's not really, you didn't do shit.
You're just being an asshole. That's what you're being.
You're just being a sad teenager. That means every sad teenager can win an Oscar.
Right. Like, you got to at least have, you know, J.L. Covan talks about it, but right. That means you got to at least have that one scene where I get to be like, oh, they acted the fuck out of that once, so they did all that repressed, like, shit, and then they had a moment where you're like, oh, this nigga can act. Like, these movies don't even require that anymore. You just get to be fucking stoic for 2 hours and everybody goes, what a fucking great job Ryan Gosling did in that movie. I'm like, he didn't fucking do shit, you know? Like, at least in La La Land he finally did some shit. That was the other thing was I remember watching La La Land and I went, oh so he can act. Okay.
Did you ever see Half Nelson though? He was good in that when he was a crackhead teacher.
I didn't see that. I saw the one where he was the driver, that joint.
Oh yeah.
That was trash. He didn't do shit. And I saw the one where he went to like, the one where he went to like Thailand or whatever.
Oh, that shit was weird.
It was terrible. He didn't do shit, dog. He would just show up, make the same face, and they would zoom in on him, and then that would be the end of the scene. And I was like, he's not acting.
He did nothing except get his hands cut off. He like so bad in a fight, he got his hands cut off. Spoiler alert.
Right. Terrible. Good. I hope you don't go see it now. I hope he spoiled it enough.
That just sounds like a bad Bruce Lee movie. That's all that sounds like.
Dog, that's the thing. If he had to fight, that would have been acting. He couldn't even fight. He was trash. Oh, what a bad movie. I think it was called Something Dragon. Anyway, it was trash. And then, of course, say that again.
I think it was called In God's Hands because it was the follow-up to Drive from that same director.
Yeah, something like, I don't know. It was trash, is my point. Yeah, I don't really care what the name was. Emma Stone won for La La Land for best performance by an actress. So she didn't have a huge titties, but she did win the award, Brandon, and I hope that's enough for you.
It's okay.
Best performance.
Zazie Beetz. Mm.
And that was for a motion picture, musical, or comedy, which I do feel is so fucked up. Like, I really wish they would change those awards because it's like comedy and music are totally two different things.
Yes, they are. You can have a musical comedy, but sometimes they're not the same.
Yeah, La La Land's not funny. You know, Meryl Streep lost for Florence Foster Jenkins, which sounds like the woman that gets up at church and talks too long when it's time for testimony.
And they were like, oh, Lord, here she goes.
Right. Oh, it's Florence Foster Jenkins. Y'all play. We are not going to get to see the game tonight. We're not going to see the game.
Y'all play the music so she can shout and we can move on.
Right. The Giants play it. Here she go passing out again. She got the spirit again. Here we go.
Come on.
Isabelle Huppert won for Elle for Best Actress.
Which no one saw coming. I am she did.
Right.
Yeah, I think she was shocked.
Best Musical or Comedy was obviously La La Land, which sucks because, like I said, Deadpool was in that category. And that was a funny-ass movie, but, you know. And then Moonlight won for Best Motion Picture Drama.
Thank God.
Yeah. Right?
We got one.
Don't let Moonlight get shut out, man.
Aren't you starting to feel like that is the Don't Ride Award? You know, the we're not gonna give these niggas much, but we will give them the biggest award. And then everybody's like, we're not gonna burn. Okay, we ain't gonna burn this down. We gonna.
Yeah, that was like, we don't want them problems. They literally was like, y'all give them one award.
Because they did this with 12 Years a Slave too. I remember everybody was like, yo, they dicking them on every black people getting dicked in every category. And then they got to the very last award, and it was like, 12 Years a Slave, and everybody was like, oh, okay, I guess, okay.
They're like, yes, we did something for black folks today. Amazing.
It was like,
wasn't
it Stallone and a black dude presenting that award, and Stallone let him say Moonlight?
Yeah, what's his name from who played Apollo Creed?
Yeah, I was like, what is this shit?
Yeah, he was
Carl Weathers.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want those problems. And this is the first.
But why didn't he want them problems? What do you think he was going to say? The best award goes to Moon Crickets. Oh, shit. Oh, how could I fuck up 2 years in a row? I had no idea, everybody. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. I don't know. Maybe he was just scared. He was like, this is a black thing. I don't want to fuck it up. Here you go.
Even liberal white people are just so fucking weird, man. And they're so scared of us.
Yeah, because they're like, we don't know how you're going to react if you treat me like a normal fucking human being. I don't overreact to everything.
They're so scared we just going to like be like fucking Attica and just burn shit down. Like, if you know, someone said Hidden Fences and everybody turned it into a joke. It was like, oh, Hidden Fences. That's like, you know, coming to American Pie or whatever the fuck, you know, like.
We get it. And this was the first.
Yeah, but Laura Bush is on the TV crying this morning. She's like, I'm sorry.
She apologized.
She got them jokes. This is the first award show that it was a shout out to Migos and Atlanta and black people all wrapped in one.
Yeah, when Atlanta won for best TV series. Also, it was kind of cool because this award show doesn't have music between shit. So it moves a lot faster.
I love it. I wish they all move like this.
Now, what y'all think about Jimmy Fallon? I thought he was terrible. Except for that opening that was like a parody of the La La Land thing, which didn't really involve him. I was like, why is he here?
That opening was great. I don't. Like I said, I watched this in the background. I just think Jimmy Fallon's okay.
Yeah, he's okay. Now, one thing I did like they had the black DJ because all the music was black.
Questlove.
Yeah, I knew the beats. I was like, oh, I know this beat. I was like, y'all ain't playing the words because I was thinking, oh, they're going to ready to cuss. I was like, oh, okay, this is the beat only. So I did like that. I like the fact that we have a bunch of musical acts and wasting our time. I wish they all award shows ran this quickly, and I think that's why I kept my attention. I don't want to see a five-hour show with an hour and a half of musicals or people singing and dancing that I don't give a fuck about.
And the problem with Jimmy Fallon to me is he's the end result of people complaining about every other fucking awards host.
Yeah.
It's like people want the edginess and the funniness of taking shots at people and shit. But then when they get it, you know, the next day it's, this joke was fucked. This was homophobic. This was racist. This was misogynistic. And it's like, to some of these jokes, that's kind of the point, is we come here and we make that joke only here because we know this is like a half a roast and half an award show. And so, you know, people spoke and apparently they don't really want that. And so you have to get, safe. Say that again.
No, let's go safe. Let's be right. Safe. Go to sail with the most likable guy in the world.
Right. And he's like non-offensive to just about everybody. It's, right. You know, not, and I mean, And that's the thing, even the most like non-offensive comedian is gonna piss some people off. So like, it, you know, it's just the choice is gonna be what it is. If they would have got Ellen, there would have been somebody complaining about some shit she said. If they were like, Jimmy Fallon's a choice where you get the least amount of complaints about his jokes, and you know, to a network at this point, that's probably, you know, better than going to getting like Seth MacFarlane or Joel McHale or something and having to deal with the backlash the next day.
Right. And also, I think too, you want somebody generic, because this is one of the first award shows where people came in and you didn't see the tension on their face. Because some award shows with some people, you can literally see the tension on the people in the audience's face. And when the camera turns on them, they might not say anything, but their face was like, oh shit, am I going to be a meme? Am I going to be trending? Like, please, please don't call my name. Please.
Well,
don't.
It's weird though, because that's not, people at home don't give a fuck about that.
Oh no, they don't.
Like when Ricky Gervais went in on Mel Gibson, everybody was sharing it and laughing and thought it was the funniest fucking thing of all time. But the people in the room probably were like, well, we just want to invite Mel Gibson back. We want to be friends with Mel again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the motherfucker was there last night and everybody was acting like it was all good. So
I mean, the host doesn't even instigate that stuff anymore. The people themselves are shooting themselves in the foot. Like Tom Hiddleston, well, they started cutting to everyone. It was just like, what the fuck is he saying?
Yeah.
Oh, that shit just wrote itself.
Right. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, but like I said, Fallon's kind of the end result of, we just don't want to piss nobody off. You know, Meryl Streep won an award and she gave a speech.
And all of us in this room really belong to the most vilified segments in American society right now. Think about it. Hollywood, foreigners, and the press. But who are we? And you know, what is Hollywood anyway? It's just a bunch of people from other places. I was born and raised and educated in the public schools of New Jersey. Viola was born in a sharecropper's cabin in South Carolina, came up in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Sarah Paulson was born in Florida, raised by a single mom in Brooklyn. Sarah Jessica Parker was one of seven or eight kids from Ohio. Amy Adams was born in Vicenza, Veneto, Italy. And Natalie Portman was born in Jerusalem. Where are their birth certificates? And the beautiful Ruth Nega was born in Addis Ababa,
what'd you say?
Ethiopia.
Oh, sorry.
Raised in Ireland, I do believe. And she's here nominated for playing a small town girl from Virginia. Ryan Gosling, like all the nicest people, is Canadian.
Oh,
and
Dev
Patel
nice.
Was born in Kenya, raised in London, and is here for playing an Indian raised in Tasmania. So Hollywood is crawling with outsiders and foreigners. And if we kick them all out, you'll have nothing to watch but football and mixed martial arts, which are not the arts.
So that was like a thing where people got upset with her for quote unquote talking down to people that voted for Trump. She never even said Trump's name, but okay. Also people got mad because she said something about the MMA and football not being art.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah.
Well, for one, you know, I'm a big MMA fan, and you know, I used to do this stuff. So for one, martial arts is an art. Like it is an art form. To say that martial arts is not an art is like saying that dancing is not an art, because they're very closely correlated.
I just don't think she meant it the way that people are taking it.
The way that Justice didn't pull me at the mouth about.
No.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, because I saw like people going on like pretty like hardcore rants and about it, and you know, relating it to like, you know, she's demonizing people of color, even because that's, sports is an area where black people and people of color excel in, and you're saying they're not real. And I didn't think she was saying it that way. I thought she was saying it on some like, you can't replace what we do with just sports. Like what we do, like what we do is important, and y'all talk shit about us, you know, being elite and Hollywood and all this shit. Like, y'all, even you out there complaining, you watch more than just football and fucking MMA. Like, this is an art, the school of the arts. When you go to the school of the arts, the way that we defined it anyway is, you know, this kind of shit, music and dance and acting and shit. Like, we don't have school of the arts and MMA and football. Like, it's just, you, like, I understand right. her, I understood her point, but I think people want it to be, to argue about something other than the point she was making.
Right, right.
Cause, you know, at the end of the day, the circles I travel in, she's still a white woman and people want to be like, I don't like that white woman. Like,
right.
And end of the day, that's like, it's like sometimes people try to make it really complex when it's just like a white woman got up and made a speech and it has to be 100% perfect or it's fuck her.
Yeah. And she's already on people's list for shit that she said.
She did say some shit like, we all from Africa. Right. I mean, right. I get it.
So, I mean, I completely understand too, but my thing is that most people's definition of sports does not include MMA. Not I mean, just art does not include MMA. Not that MMA can't be defined as art, but when the average person thinks of art, MMA is not on the top of the agenda.
Her mistake was, in my opinion, her mistake, quote unquote, if you want to say that, you don't need to kick somebody else shit down to elevate your shit. And people do this all the time.
Correct.
The other day on Twitter, someone wanted to start the quote unquote no kids challenge, and it was a bunch of pictures of things she accomplished because in her mind I didn't have kids. And it's like, you know, you could have, there's people with kids that went to school.
I got
like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I got a job. Like, nigga, it's people with school with kids that got your job. Like, isn't, what are you like? So it's that kind of thing where it's like, would is it cool to celebrate those things? Like, you graduated from school, you're a meteorologist, you know, whatever other things you accomplish in life, is it cool to celebrate those things? Of course it's cool to celebrate those things. It's not as cool to celebrate those things by then kicking somebody that wasn't even thinking about your ass. And that's really what happened, was people being like, but I like NBA and MMA and I'm watching the Golden Globes. Why you got to shit on my stuff to elevate your shit? Can I like your shit and my shit too? And I think that's where she fucked up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me go to the next session. I'm pulling y'all right back on. Hold on 1 second. It'll take like 1 minute.
Cool.
Yeah, we were right up against the break there. Sorry to do that.
I'm gonna go ahead and go to the next session.
Yeah, I'm about to invite everybody over.
Okay.
And I'm gonna prepare to go live in a few seconds. Didn't mean to cut them off like that.
But if the nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy, you understand? Don't do it. Cut me out. Don't do it.
I'm about to invite them back on screen. Just give it 1 second, everybody. Let's see, inviting you, Karen, and let me find Brandon again. There he is. Add him. All right, cool. Everybody should be getting back on screen.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We back.
Yeah.
So yeah. At any rate, man, her speech got a lot of like flack, but it was just weird because she was catching flack from the fucking like racist ass Republicans that just hated, like, this is why you lost. I think Meghan McCain said some shit like, this is why Trump won, because of stuff like this. Like, it was just so ridiculous, the over the top reactions. And I'm like, how do y'all hate celebrities and actors, but the dude you fucking voted in is famous for Celebrity Apprentice? It's, none of this makes sense.
And the thing is, like, we all know that this motherfucker in the middle of the night was going to respond via Twitter.
Right. And he did.
That's exactly what he did.
Well, man, I can't believe this dude's going to be president, man.
Right.
Very rated. I don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
impression.
I don't even know what voice that is, but that was excellent.
It's like if you were growing up or something.
Right.
Yeah, and
fingers. You got to have the fingers.
Cam, what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. And I think the thing for me with her is that I understood her concept and understood what she said, but not at one time was I under the illusion that on some of that shit that she was talking directly to me. Because you have showed me a lot of times you are on that all lives matter bullshit. You're just by what you said. So for a lot of people, they were like, oh, anything she says, she's excluded me from it, even though she's talking in a form of inclusion when she's presenting it. You're still excluding people.
I guess, man. From what I heard, I didn't hear. It was that thing where I didn't hear her going out of her way to be like, "Hey, Black Lives Matter." But the same way I didn't hear her going out of her way, like many other actresses who've gotten up there and basically fired shots with like, and we just, as women, need to stop bickering and just come together. And you're like, oh, you don't like when Black women say that y'all be doing fucked up shit. Okay, I get it. This isn't really about all women. This is about saying women need to shut the fuck up unless they white. Like, I mean, she didn't do any of those taboos. I thought the speech was okay. I didn't, you know, I saw people like passing around like, this speech will tear Donald Trump anew. And I'm like, y'all do realize Donald Trump don't give a fuck. Like,
he doesn't. Yeah. I think he's around people that hide him from all the hate. I think he's around people that only tell him he's great. He don't know how to use a computer, so he ain't gonna find out.
I feel like he fueled by the hate. I think he just be lying, dog. I think he do know how to use a computer. And he do be watching them. He be on Twitter and shit. Like, he know all. Like, it's like dating a motherfucker that just don't tell the truth. Like, he don't care. It's just whatever's convenient at that moment. I thought you said you were coming out straight home from work. I had to work late. But y'all closed on Sundays. Bitch, why are you in my business? Like, that's how it feels with him, man. Like, people need to stop trying to pin him down and shit. Cause it don't matter. Cause he not, even if you pin him down to something, he just gonna lie and be like, that's not what happened. So why does everybody keep acting like they can win the game of fucking with Trump? You can't win, dog.
Y'all not worried about us getting to a war just because somebody like says something bad about him?
Yes. Like, yeah, I am worried about that. I just
because don't. Because you're going in on SNL and Meryl Streep and shit. Like, I'm like, but you ain't going to go after Russia? Like, what kind of.
I do. I am worried about him being at the head of this country. It's literally out of my hands at this point.
Yeah, he gonna get in the Twitter beef.
Not right. You know what you gotta do.
Right. You talking about playing Delco 7? Hold up now. We not supposed to talk about this on the air.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, he gonna get in a Twitter beef with a prime minister, and we gonna have World War III.
Right, I'm waiting on Putin to call him a bitch to his face or something, man, because it's gonna happen. Well, anytime fuck boys like that get together, one of them turns on the other. It always happens. That part.
I wanna see Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump have a fight. In space. Space, you guys.
It's gonna happen in cyberspace when that motherfucker unfollows him.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it's gonna happen in Cybertron.
No, I wasn't gonna say that at all. It's gonna happen when one of them unfollows the other one or something. That's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be some fuck boy shit like that. Some 2017 type beef of
one of them gonna block the other
Chris
one.
Brown shit going on. Yeah.
Why you ain't retweet my
Soulja Boy and Chris Brown are fighting.
They were, yeah, they were fighting.
Putin gonna his wife's picture on Instagram, and they're gonna go up in flames.
It's gonna be some shit like that, man. I don't trust them. All right, let's get into some segments, guys. We got to talk about that. I don't know what news is out there. Oh, well, I guess there is some news, entertainment news. Okay, so we got some entertainers on the show. Have you guys heard about the late night comedy TV land series called Throwing Shade? It's gonna be coming to
dope.
TV no. Land. Mm-hmm. Viacom owned network has picked up two series of comedy based on a popular podcast called Throwing Shade. The unscripted project will feature social commentary and funny skits, and like the podcast, will cover current issues including pop culture and politics and treat them with much less respect than they deserve. The half hour show will air 11 p.m. slot and be filmed in front of a live audience.
Let me guess, this is a white hosted show.
Yeah. Because I actually followed the podcast. Yeah, they've been doing this show for a few years, and that's their thing. They just basically get on and just talk shit about people.
Why did they get Crystal or Kid Fury to do this?
That sounds a little too much like right. Yep. Sounds a little too much like the obvious choice right there. So you got to go off the board, man. You got to give the... You gotta get an award to a TV show nobody's ever watched. Yeah, apparently Aaron Gibson of Parks and Rec and The Kroll Show and Brian Safi of Modern Family and Superstore, Thorne Shay originally launched a podcast in 2011 before moving to Funny or Die, which has been produced 80 episodes since it's acquired in 2013. Gibson and Safi, who will star in a TV Land series, completed a 17-city tour for Thorne Shay last summer. So it's big. It's blowing up. Yeah, you know what's amazing about this shit is I do feel like if it was Throwing Shade, starring two niggas, none of this would have happened. Like, Funny or Die wouldn't have never called them. Like, just like, we don't understand any of this. Throwing what? You're throwing lamps at each other? What are you doing? Yeah, it's weird though, cause like, on the one hand, like, yes, Throwing Shade is clearly like black colloquialism at this point. But it's also LGBT. It's also gay colloquialism.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's so like...
either one of those persuasions, because if not, then that means that they just hijacked that title.
I have no idea, man. They don't cover it in the article, so I don't know.
Oh, Lauren of Pittsburgh said Safi's gay. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because, I mean, not that it would have been okay either way, but still, like, there are levels to it, is what I'm saying. Because some people was like, they stole a black idea. I was like, and black people stole a gay idea? I mean, come on, dog. It's a lot of stealing going on, is what I'm saying. It's... you know, it'll probably be some brown and black people that should probably have a show called Throwing Shade, but, you know, it would have never blown up then. Let's see what else is happening out here. You guys going to Coachella?
I mean, I'm going to try.
Okay.
I want to see Beyonce. I want to see...
Kendrick going?
Who else is there? Kendrick got a Radiohead. You got a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go.
Nope. I don't want to be around a bunch of drunk and high white people floating around the damn. Nah, I'm good.
Let's you every weekend.
We mean
let's oh, every weekend. Weekend. Okay.
what am I around a bunch of drunk high white people?
You know what?
No, I don't.
At the orgy.
It's like, hold on, this is just like the cream thing, Brandon. It has to make sense.
Brandon will go down the rabbit hole without just no help. He just be like, I don't need no more help. Yeah, well, there's a dude who had to delete a Craigslist ad for a Coachella date.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a picture of his, what is RVs, like his van. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that, it was at the Sue Plantation's parent company, Sweet Tomatoes, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and rumors that some locations could close. Some employees are looking for a way out. Well, one such former employee has made it clear that he's clearly over his managerial role at the all you can eat chain, and he said on Just Fun from now on, Gordon, as he calls himself in a recently published Craigslist ad, which I think they deleted, which has been flagged for removal, is looking to attend Coachella with a travel companion. In his ad, the newly divorced 56-year-old supervising manager of Sioux Plantation from West Covina explained that after 11 years of marriage, he recently quit his job, cashed in his 401k, and wants to party, beginning with a fun-filled VIP experience during weekend two of the Coachella 2017. And he put an image of the RV up, and he said...
Weekend two? How long is Coachella? A month? What's happening here?
I don't know.
It's only like a few days. It was like a weekend or something.
Yeah, I guess it's getting bigger now. Weekend two. Maybe it's two weekends now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, in the ad seemed innocent at first, but quickly transitioned into a creepy, slightly questionable solicitation for a 19 to 25-year-old female with a fashionable sense of style in the vein of the typical Coachella goer, i.e. cute Indian headband, small ripped jean shorts, and lots of colorful bracelets, etc.
Mm-hmm. He basically want a fuck buddy. He wants somebody that can roll
Coachella
with him.
Buffalo Bill shit.
Yeah,
or you a shy shaver.
Yeah, it turned into how Brandon turns sometimes on the show. It got creepy. Who should be willing to follow a 20-point checklist? A 20-point checklist of semi-repulsive.
What is she, a car?
A what?
A car. You checking her inspections?
I guess so. 20-point checklist of semi-repulsive requests during the 4-day weekend together. Number one, must be female, ages 19 to 25. Two, must be comfortable traveling in a recreational vehicle, vintage Shasta Chinook 3100, pick attached. Number three, must be fashionable sense, style of dress that we talked about. Number four, preferably have a playlist of various Coachella artists on the phone we could listen to on the ride over.
So he can know who he's going to see.
Because he old.
Nah, it's because he want to be like, because I want to hold that phone. Yeah, I'm going to just hook it up to the system real quick. Out the window. Number five.
You stranded.
Number five. Must keep hands and feet moisturized at all times.
What? Well, you know, moisturization is very, very important.
Justin, did you write this ad?
I don't want no ashy broads in my car. Number six, must be open-minded and opportunistic.
Right. Opportunistic.
Right. Ooh, I told y'all he put an order out for a fuck buddy. I want somebody to roll across the country with me that I can just fuck. Like, that's what this call was for.
So he pretty much should have just said, I want someone who feel nice.
I want somebody to empty out my plums.
It's that's so cream.
You gotta listen to our show after this, man.
It's an ad for it's really an ad for just Roadhead, basically.
Right. He needs somebody to clean them pipes.
Yeah.
Man pipes.
Number seven, must be okay with periodic hand holding, perhaps during certain sensual songs and while walking into the festival initially. So you gotta hold my hand walking into the festival initially.
Hey, you paid all this money, you can at least hold the man's hand. Just saying.
The key word there is sensual.
Right. Woman that's old enough to be my daughter.
56-year-old man. Number eight, fingernails and toenails must be nicely painted and harmonious with general color scheme of outfit. Number nine, I will provide snacks such as beef jerky and peanut butter sandwiches. But if you like if you have additional snacks and drinks, big bonus. Peanut butter sandwiches?
See, you know what this is? This is exactly what who's been out of the game for a very long time would be saying.
Oh, you know what?
It's just indicative of somebody who's just like, I've been married for a lot of years, and I'm just getting back in the saddle. So I just have this checklist of things I want from a woman. I mean, you're never going to live up to this. This is never going
to
work.
I thought it was pretty easy to meet the expectation of snacks and peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, so she can't scream.
Everything on his, he's making a bucket list of things that he was hoping that he could find a woman who'd be up for this shit.
I'm going to stick together with all that peanut butter.
It's going, from the roofies, he crushed up in it.
Right, she went and passed out.
Number 10.
She can't taste the roofies in the peanut butter. At least that's what they told me on the internet.
Right. That's what they don't tell you. That ad is from it's really from Bill Cosby.
Peanut butter.
Number 10. Being social is fine, but no excessive fraternizing with other male festival goers. And most definitely no public affection with other festival goers. Violation of this rule results in immediate removal of Tropic Motor motel room privileges and maybe even a return ride. Yeah. Number 11, periodic moments of it.
So he said, bitch, I leave you out here in the middle of nowhere.
If you out here holding hands some other nigga, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck would go on this trip? I pay for my own ticket. Fuck you.
You're basically saying don't get too high.
Right.
Don't have too much fun now.
Don't you be out here looking at these men's, girl. Number 11, periodic moments of extended eye contact. Okay. Number 12, allow me to brush your hair once per day. Not mandatory, but encouraged.
You know what? I think this guy's just a romantic.
Ooh, right.
Don't be touching me, Grandpa.
Come on, Cam.
Weekend.
Give love a chance, everybody.
No, don't be touching me, Grandpa. No. Oh, crusty hands.
We need to move away from the women. And away from the internet, preferably. Just keep them off.
Yeah, he go, I want somebody young, that like old, gray, dusty balls, because I've been out of the game for a real long time, girl. Get away from me.
You guys don't believe in love, man.
Mm-mm, not that type of love. Nope. Mm-mm. I don't believe in it then. Nope.
Mm-mm. Well,
that's a lifetime movie in the making.
Go on. Number 13. Must not be into drugs. Pot, okay.
Oh, what? So we can't do Molly?
So no heavy drugs you're talking about.
Number 14, must take a minimum of 4 photos of us together and post them on your Instagram account.
Oh, so I want everybody to know I was with this tender young thing.
Yeah, he wants his wife to get jealous.
Mm-hmm. Number 15, any personal grooming such as toenail clipping, eyebrow plucking, or lipstick application must be done in my presence.
You a stalker?
I don't know. Maybe you want to save the clips for something later. I don't know. Number
a lot of them cuticles.
he want to have it so he can get rid of know where all the DNA evidence is in the van.
Oh, he gonna kill her out in the middle of nowhere.
Now what you then laughing? Yeah, start scraping off your fingerprints.
Yeah, let me see your eyelashes. Put that in the bag. We need to put this in this baggie. Want the police to see that?
Use the blue gloves. The blue gloves.
Number.
That's why I keep wiping out all the surfaces in this trailer.
Right. Yeah. What's up with all this bleach?
You just keep bending over.
What's up with all this bleach in here? It's a lot of, ooh, it smells like bleach. Number 16, at least once during the festival, you must allow me to carry you on my shoulders so you can see the stage better. Perfect time for an Instagram photo. Oh, two for one. Number 17, at least twice during the festival, you must tell me in a playful manner that I am naughty.
That's probably the best one.
Number 18.
The things are romantic.
Yes. I mean, he wants to role play just a little bit. Brandon.
Just a little bit. What's the safe word? Number 18. At some point in the time during the festival, you must tell me that you didn't know how this would go, but you're actually having a really good time. But if you have to tell me, then it's just in the script now.
Yeah.
Is he filming like a rom-com? What the fuck? Number
he's got a few endings. It's a choose your own story kind of thing. And if you pick the wrong ending, it ain't gonna be good for you, girl.
It's gonna be real bad.
Number 19, at least once during our stay, after your shower, you must use the steam to write a cute message on the bathroom mirror for me to file later when I shower. Also, y'all not gonna be showering at the same time. Well, that's optimistic. Yeah. Number 20, must be ready to party and have fun.
Yo. My man just basically wrote the Creeps Manifesto.
Yeah.
It gets no creepier than this whole... Yeah. That's insane.
He's creeping it creepy.
Yeah, and the title of this was Coachella VIP Weekend, One Pass Free for the Right Person, $1.
So, question is, how many unassuming white women, actually very assuming, they have to have known this guy's a creep, have answered this and said, like, yes... I will be in that van with you.
I don't know. I hope they brought some mace, man. I don't trust anything about this shit. This seems very...
Honey, you might not make it back. You're going to be in some bag somewhere over there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, this seems horrible. All right, let's get into some fucking with black people, everybody. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles and we score them from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Well, let's see who's fucking with us today, guys. How about... Here's one. President Trump is about to be elected, right? President-elect Trump. President Trump. Mm. President Troll. Mm. Rebecca Ferguson wants to perform Strange Fruit at the Trump inauguration. She was asked to perform in the January 20th ceremony. She said she would. She's a black woman of color. She says, but the only way she will perform is if she can sing Strange Fruit. She says, I've been asked. And this is my answer. If you allow me to sing Strange Fruit, a song that has huge historical importance, a song that was blacklisted in the United States for being too controversial, a song that speaks to all the disregarded and downtrodden black people in the United States, a song that is a reminder of how love is the only thing that will conquer all the hatred in this world, then I will graciously accept your invitation to see you in Washington.
Oh, that got declined real quick.
Yeah, they're probably not going to let her do it.
Of course.
No, I don't think they're going to let that happen.
0 to 100, though, Karen.
Oh, I'm not fucked with it.
Not fucked with it at all. Okay, what about you, Brandon?
Nah.
All right. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, no. I don't think that's what's
going to
happen.
From the pop-up trees.
Yeah.
Not all the years.
Yo.
I'm going to say I'm a 25 fucked with because I'm still, every time I hear that inauguration coming, I'll be like... Something in my soul be like, I can't believe this happening. I'm waiting for someone to hop out of, like, if the legends of tomorrow are real, why can't they just pop out of a time capsule and be like, no, nigga.
I mean, come on, Barry Allen.
It's gonna start the opposite timeline, you know.
Run, Barry, run.
Oh, we are on the upside down right now. Y'all understand that, right?
Yeah, I feel like something happened and we ended up in the darkest timeline.
Yeah, we're in an alternate timeline.
I want to go back to the Nexus point and make that decision all over again. Okay, guys? No,
this is actually not the darkest timeline. This is the whitest timeline.
It really is. Hey, what if we could take it? Here's a time travel question for you guys. You know how many white people, the backlash against Obama started the day that he said Trayvon Martin, his son would look like Trayvon Martin if he had a son?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you guys. I felt great when he said it. Like, yes.
Yeah, it was real.
Right? It's some real shit. What if, for us not to have Trump, he had to not say that and never really acknowledge any of the black tragedies that happened on his watch? Would y'all rather him do that and we not have Trump? Or would y'all still go, I'd rather he keep it real and we have Trump? Karen? It's an audio podcast, Karen. People can't hear you looking at me.
I was thinking. Well, you know what? I don't want Trump, so yeah, I'd rather him not say anything because all the presidents before him didn't say shit, so he would just been keeping tradition alive.
All right. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd rather he not say it because he's a writer. He's gonna write about it eventually once he gets out of the house. We know he's gonna write a huge book anyway. And if it keeps it from Trump, because that's the problem. We all like these poor white people that voted for him don't even understand. We all are butts.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to these roles. Like, him and his son-in-law don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about us. They don't care about nothing but money. That's all they care about.
What about you, Justin?
I say keep it real. Trump was going to happen either way.
No, I'm saying if we knew in the time travel rules, it definitely Trump wouldn't happen.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
We knew. We were like, this is the Nexus point. We hop out of the time machine. We in the Oval Office and we say, listen, I know what you about to go out there and say, Barry. But if you say this shit, we gonna have President Trump in 2017. I know you don't think it can happen. It's gonna happen. What would you want to be able to go back and have that moment and make him say something different?
You know the answer to this, Justin.
I know the answer to it, but I just want to say, be real, Barack. Be real. Be yourself. Be yourself. But if it's gonna, if we're not gonna have Trump, I would tell you shut that mouth. You shut that mouth of yours.
You know what, man? I hate to be the odd man out, man, but I think I tell him just keep it real. Mm-hmm. Fuck this country. It's going, like, it ain't your fault, nigga. You did your job. You know what I'm saying? What else was you supposed to do? They was going to view your ass as militant, you know, the second you said it. I mean, they was mad when the nigga said the police acted stupidly for arresting a man for breaking into his own home. Like, they was going to be mad one way or another. But yeah, if I could go back to that moment, I think I still tell him, like, then we just gonna have to have President Trump, because what the fuck, man? I needed that feeling in my life at that time. I'm taking the feeling for granted that I had a president that would be like, well, that shit was kind of racist. It seems like such a little thing, but it mattered a lot to me, you know, at the time. So I don't know. I think I just had President Trump, unfortunately.
And truthfully, it still does matter, because you know, he's going to be the only president, and we'll be probably be dead and gone to even look close to his color.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's another one. Rent-A-Center tolerated racial slurs in the workplace.
Rent-A-Center still around?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, still around. They ain't finished all them payments yet. The state's Division of Civil Rights for New Jersey has filed a suit against the national retailer Rent-A-Center, alleging the company tolerated racial slurs, including the use of the N-word in the workplace. I like that they have to make a note for it, for nigga, because nigga is so powerful. It's like, including the one we all thinking.
They really said nigga, guys. I'm just letting you guys
know. It was not just chinks, okay? They went there. Based in Plano, Texas, Rent-A-Center has 2,600 stores in the U.S., including 40 in New Jersey. Attorney General Christopher S. Porino said the suit filed in the Superior Court in Camden focuses on alleged incidents at two Rent-A-Centers, The state says the company unlawfully discriminated by failing to prevent or remedy racial hostile conduct. The state claims an assistant manager at the Rent-A-Center store on Federal Street habitually used racial slurs when speaking to coworkers. The complaint alleges that an African-American employee reported the slurs to Rent-A-Center's district manager and to corporate higher-ups in Texas, but the situation was not corrected. And in the wake of her coworker's report and a subsequent Rent-A-Center internal inquiry, the assistant manager, who is Hispanic, kept her job but was transferred to a second Rent-A-Center store in a different part of the town, but then she continued to be racist. So it sounds like a black person said, hey man, I know you Spanish, but you can't be saying nigga. And then she was like, I can say whatever I want. And then that black person reported her, and then she got transferred to another store where she continued to be like, can you believe that nigga got me fired? And everybody's like, oh god, you can't do it here.
It's like the M version of the Catholic Church. What's crazy? They just be transferring people around, not thinking they're gonna do the same thing.
It's doubt, but with the M.
Just send them over there. They won't do it again, I don't think.
It's doubt.
Send them to Wisconsin.
Wait. Did this happen? Did you say Camden, as in Camden, New Jersey?
Yeah.
I mean, when you start putting Camden, New Jersey in anything, I'm just like,
it's pretty bad.
I don't know if I can believe them niggas down there, because that's a crazy place. That's one of the craziest places on the face of the earth.
It's pretty much the plot to Spotlight, but with nigga.
Yeah.
It's like we had to crack the case of Rent-A-Center. How many people they moving around? you need a nigga to play the Hulk to be walking around. Like, I'm just so confused at all these stories keep coming up.
Mark Ruffalo just screams at his monologue like he does in Spotlight.
Yeah.
They keep saying nigger and no one's helping him. We need help. We're not doing anything. The press.
Right. Did you know? At any rate, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
All right.
Employee and for Rent-A-Center. And when you were saying the nigga, I was like, well, they, cause at first I thought you were talking about like a sales call or something like that. I didn't know you were talking about like an employee out on the floor on their lunch break. I was like, what were they saying to the customers? Nigga, you still paying on this goddamn bill?
Damn, nigga, you still ain't paying for this couch?
I mean, you gotta pay more than the $2.99 we tell you a month. Come on.
You know for 100% fact, she called them customers niggas behind their back.
Yep. Come on.
That had to happen. Justin, what about you? 0 to 100, man.
Oh, man. Like I said, Camden kind of hurts it for me. Mm-hmm. Nah, this is 100 range. They're going hard on us.
What about you, Brandon?
I'm going with 100, man. That's you can't. I've already hit rock bottom if I'm at a Rent-A-Center. I don't need to be called a nigga too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I gotta give it 100 too. Right. Gotta give it 100.
Right. If I'm already gonna be paying for this refrigerator 18 times, you don't call me nigga. Come on.
Yeah, they should have fired her immediately.
Immediately, dog.
You know what? It was probably a white person that had to make the decision, so they ain't understand. It's like, but she's brown. Can't she say it?
No.
I listen to Fat Joe.
I'm sure that happens more often than we want to believe, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not from New York, so I don't got to worry about that.
Didn't Black-ish have a whole episode about that, though? About, like, who could say the N-word?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, some Spanish people could say it because it would be cool and stuff.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I don't know the rules, but I just know up in New York it's different. Here it's not like that.
Everybody just sitting there, yo, my nigga, da 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 da. I was like, you Jewish.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's Asian guys, Indian guys, it's weird, bro.
Yeah. You don't really have a lot of black people willing to vouch for that shit down here. Because, you know, it's a different history.
Yeah, it's very different. You know.
Rod's like, if somebody call me nigga, it's going to be popping.
Hey, man, I've had to pull a couple people to the side, like, hey, what we not going to do? Like, I don't know where you from and how they do it, how they kick it where you at. You know, what's funny is, whenever it's a white person doing it or brown, or someone that's not black and they doing it it's normally cause they're with some other black people. Mm-hmm. I'll pull those black people to the side. Like, I won't even talk to the person. I'm like, we not gonna pay attention to him right now cause he don't matter. What's going on with your life? What happened in your life that you thought this was okay?
Right.
Cause you're gonna get him fucked up and that's not even fair to him. He don't know. Mm-mm-mm. You done fucked the rules up.
What side are you on, sir, brother?
Yeah. Like, I've had to have that conversation before. I'm like, you know, your boy corny with that bullshit, right? Anyway, all right, so let's get into the next segment, which I did promise yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna do white people news today. Mm-mm. Instead, we're gonna do Baller Alert. Yo, I'm looking for a 5-star bitch. Talk about. You actually just stepped out of magazine. She same fly in a estate fly in a jukebox wet in a hair sun spot light. Gotti here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't call him down no more. Oh, now we call him 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star click. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay a bill, get a hair fix, might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, B. Your man is a scrub. See, she love me, now she love you, not now. All my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call a Gucci girl and beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can beat me. 5-star fish, that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. If your credits go high, feet and nails stay fly. Keep your juice box wet and your head some fire. You a 5-star. And you a 5-star. All right.
Yes.
Groovy Tales, A Night with Offset of the Migos.
Oh shit now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be interesting.
What a better way to start 2017 off than with a groupie tale. We previously had a tale about Quavo of the Migos, but what about his homie Offset? Check out the groupie tale submitted below and let us know your thoughts. Disclaimer, groupie tales are submitted by our readers. We cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Want to share your story? Email 118 at ballalert.com. You can remain anonymous. So this is a groupie tale about Offset from Migos. Let me start off by saying that the beginning is a little slow, but the juice is in the end of the story.
Aw, shit now. Yes.
This was back in March in 2014. My best friend and I were on vacation in Jacksonville, and the day we met him was our last day in town. We found a flyer about their club appearance and decided to go check them out. At the time, I wasn't as big a fan as I grew to be, but shit, it was our last day to party. Mm. Migos showed up at like 2 a.m. However, they performed hella songs, so it was worth the price and the wait. I like that she just put like a Yelp review in the middle of, 5 stars.
The ambiance was so transcendent.
Yeah. That manager, Real Money, stopped and talked to my best friend as they headed out of the door and gave him his phone number. Of course, I'm egging her on to text him, but she wasn't really going for it. So I took her phone to shoot a text, and he responded with the address to the hotel they were staying at. Uh-huh. We get there, and him and a guy named Domingo meet us in the lobby. I was disappointed as fuck because I only wanted to meet Migos and not somebody in their entourage. We ended up splitting up, me going with Domingo and my best friend with the manager. While Domingo and I were walking down the hallway, Offset passes by and speaks. Of course, I'm freaking the fuck out on the inside, especially when he turned around and said I had a fat ass. He kept on walking though.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, street harassment work if you famous, apparently.
Yeah.
She was very excited about that. You mm-hmm. would have been some random niggas. You were like, excuse you? I don't know you. Domingo asking questions, talking about why my man would be mad if I laid down. Oh, wait. Would my man be mad if I laid in the bed with him? Meanwhile, he's sharing a room with some big ass security guard looking nigga that was knocked out snoring. My response was, no, he won't be mad because I'm not getting in the bed with you. After that, he called himself having an attitude, not wanting to talk anymore. My best friend calls and says, Offset said he's about to come get me. He comes to the room and we walk to his, and this is where the story gets crazy.
Ooh. Oh, shit now.
This man walks over to the counter and just starts tossing all of his jewelry on the nightstand, then snatches pants off, grabs another pair, then goes into the bathroom. I hear water running for a while, then he comes back with fresh pants on, snatches the covers off of the bed, and gets his ass in, then starts fondling with his dick. By this time...
Wait a second.
I don't think they were ready for
time
the...
out. Technical foul. Technical foul right here.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go into the bathroom and wash his balls right quick?
He did. It sounded like he did from the forensic evidence.
Mm-hmm. No. They might have been musty. He was performing.
Why did he put new pants on? That's the question.
Right, right. What was going on in the old pants? What was going on in the old pants that he had to go complete new pants?
Sweat.
Exactly. Chock full of shit, y'all. Chock full of
shit. I'm just saying. Go could on. Be a lot of reasons to change pants. None of them good.
Ah!
By this time, I'm looking crazy as hell. So I tell him I'm going to the bathroom. This man has his drawers on the floor. The hotel soap ripped open and a wet rag in the sink.
Yeah, he's watching them nuts.
Mm-hmm. A nut up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this sweaty balls ass nigga got some nerve trying to fuck somebody washing it with hotel soap and shit. I go back and let that nigga know we ain't fucking, and he says he already knew because he can look and see I wasn't in thought. He even said bitches don't even give him play like that. We just talked and he seemed to be level headed, although this was prior to those fights and probation violations later on that year. Saying he got too much on the line to be fucking off by smoking weed, but smoking cigarettes instead. Said how he hate the fame, the interviews, and performances, but does what he has to do for his family. I found out later that the same time all this was happening was around the time he was fucking with his baby mama Ariel and that other chick he has a daughter with, whom I believe was a fan too. Not too sure about that part. Before I left, I realized this nigga about to try and fuck with a lifestyle condom. Meanwhile, real, I guess that was damning. That was some damning evidence.
At least this nigga's trying to fuck with a condom.
Right. I mean, lifestyle is not my preferred brand. I will give you that. But, you know, they do, you know, if you go up in the cost of the lifestyles, like some of the higher end lifestyles aren't that bad. But if it's like the free clinic lifestyles, that's just how you get pregnant.
Right. I'm going to say, yeah, lifestyle will change your lifestyle. That need to be their motto. Don't right.
Meanwhile, Real Money kicked my best friend out of his room for not trying to fuck. But before that, gave her a whole band for gas money. Ha ha ha. Laughing emojis. Fast forward to a few months later, they ended up coming to my hometown for a show, and those dusty ass niggas wore the same clothes in the club I was in to another show in Rochester, New York the next day. The Rich the Kid ass was there without socks on, and takeoff was so high. These niggas sound like Transformers. Offset, takeoff. Don't they? I'm gonna roll out. Was so high he was stuck and gazing off instead of performing with everybody else. I was right in front. So when Domingo saw me, I guess he recognized me because the look he gave me was the same salty look when I wouldn't lay in the bed with him. Laughing emojis. So as always, there's comments.
That was the story.
They didn't even fuck. This really feels more like a groupie hangout.
Where the juice at?
Yeah. Right.
The juice
right.
Was
you
bald?
Lied. Mm-mm.
Let's see what the comments say. Corina says, that story was lame AF. Besides the part where he took a wash up with hotel soap, but other than that, keep this lame ass story to yourself, baby girl. Sherry P responded and said, word. Really now says, so what was the point of this story? Ray Lynn says, man, wasting my fucking time reading this bullshit. Damn, it just turned 2017 and y'all still wasting a nigga time. Justin said, this is the corniest story I ever heard. Three question marks said, where is the juice at the end of the story? Because what I read was flavorless. That size, what size is his penis? Did he come when he was jacking off on the bed? If he did it get on the sheets? The condom or your lips? What else did y'all talk about to prove that he was level-headed? Was he circumcised? Was his sweaty balls loose or tight? How did you leave the room? Were you kicked out? I need more details and the story to flow a little better.
I know. Listen, all I want is to give me the blow by blow. That's right. What she wants.
She wants the full action. I feel you. Priscilla Black says, I fucking love Migos. Little young thugging asses, but the niggas stay... But the niggas stay dog mouthing hoes in they music. We can't be too mad. This just a part of that lifestyle. You win some, you lose some, but she got a good ass story to tell if it's the truth. And if it is the truth, I'm dying my ass off. This is so funny. HNY118 and everybody else on this damn blog. I don't know what that means.
Me either.
Nope.
Don says her and her friend got fucked bullshit story. She lying, trying to make herself look good. Bitch, please, you got fucked. Okay. D says this whack. She knew what was up from the jump. Should have never went to the hotel, bitch. Damn.
Oh.
They are mad. They read all that. Cherry P says lies. Oh shit. My niggas in the house. Hating ass Terrell Jones back, y'all.
For 2017.
We thought we lost you, hating ass Terrell Jones.
Glad to see you, my friend.
He says, I would have Cosby'd your ass. And then, Jesus Christ, hating Jesus. Straight out the gate with the just ridiculousness. Oh my God. I would have Cosby'd your ass. And then while you was passed out, I would have spread my ass cheeks nice and wide and placed my asshole directly in your mouth and had you tossing salad while you was unconscious. I dare you to do this to a national treasure, bitch. Offset should have hit her with a left, hit her with a right, then knocked the pussy out like fight night. Then in parentheses, he put basically assault and rape the bitch. Jesus.
Oh, no.
What the fuck is wrong with hating ass Terrell Jones? Oh,
I like how he went and broke it down. It's like, guys, what I'm talking about here is pure assault and rape. I'm like, I wanted to catch a case over there.
Yeah, just like, literally a crime. I'm advocating a crime, y'all. A heinous crime.
Transparent, unlike the Craigslist dude.
Yeah.
You say this is what I wanted to.
And then lastly, someone who spelled Migos wrong, M-I-O-G-S, says Miogs equal the Beatles. Why you waste all our time with this garbage ass story, you hating ass bitch? You know damn well you went there wanting to get some dick and was mad because he was passing you off to other niggas. And then when you get there, you get mad because a nigga is sweaty. Yeah, bitch, it's like 5 a.m. and he just finished working all night, you dusty ass hoe.
No.
Damn.
No, okay.
Y'all was mad tonight. Mm. Anyway, that's ball alert. You a fast up bitch. You a fast up bitch. I want a fast up bitch. I need a fast up bitch. I need a fast up bitch. I want a fast up bitch. It's your boy, yo, got it. I do grade A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and this the remix. And still out here looking for a five-star chick. If I catch her, I'ma bless her with a five-star kid. She a natural-born hustler. She ain't chasing no suckers. Only mess a real nigga. She ain't never fucking busters. So your cars and your jewelry, that shit really don't excite her. Hitting assholes in the club won't fight her. She was born in the A with the school in D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas. Then she moved to Tennessee. If you ain't a five-star shorty, go ahead and face it. Fake Gucci, fake Louis shorty. That'll make you basic. All right, all right. Let's get into the last game, guys.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, baby.
It was mad as hell, wasn't it?
They were not having that shit.
Jesus.
Her story was not that juicy enough.
Bitch.
They didn't even, like, normally when...
I'm about to run and say the bitch.
Normally when hating ass Terrell Jones say something fucked up, it's always like somebody to be like, come on, man. That's disgusting. They were so mad at her. Everybody was like, about right. Make her toss your salad, Cosby.
That's Jesus. Terrible.
Well, you know what? I got to say, though, at least he went in there to wash his balls, though.
He did, right? If he didn't wash his balls,
he pulled out a condom, so he was making right decisions.
Here's the groupie trail trick that you got to know. It doesn't matter what you do. The people in the comments going to hate you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, and if it sounds too good, they just going to say you lying. So it's, you can't win. Like, if you say, like, you know what? I don't know. You picked a... Kendrick Lamar picked me up in my room and took me out to the prom and we had a nice dinner and like a true gentleman, he kissed me on my hand and I went back to sleep and whatever. They'll be like, you ain't get no dick, hoe. You know, like it's nothing. There's no way to win.
You ain't get no purse. You ain't get no shoes.
Right. We made sweet, sweet love. What size was his balls? You know, it's such an evil.
I know you gave Kendrick some neck.
Right. You lying, bitch. You lying. All right. Let's go to the guest race. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And tonight we ask our contestants, Brandon and Justin, from the Medium Popcorn Nigga Spoiling Movie Podcast, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along and they're racist, and so does Karen. My sandwich. A father, furious his wife took a bite out of his grilled cheese snack, opens fire at her, and is taken down in a 3-hour standoff with police.
Goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this one right away.
Okay. Ross Geller's infamous meltdown over a stolen bite of his moist maker in Friends has been given a staunch competition from one Baltimore man. Daniel Bryan Blackwell, 55, allegedly became so enraged that his wife ate some of his grilled cheese snack that he fired multiple shots at her on Sunday before a 3-hour standoff with the police.
Wow.
Blackwell's wife was making dinner when he allegedly fired a shot at her through the basement floor and into the kitchen after she had a bite of his sandwich.
Oh, shit.
She went to check on him.
What do you know?
How do you go check on him? Yeah, if you fire a shot at me, I'm leaving the house.
You can kiss my ass.
Good luck.
She would be in that house by your fucking self.
Well, she went to check on him and found that Blackwell was surrounded by a number of guns. Blackwell's wife went upstairs and he then fired 3 more shots into the kitchen. She and the couple's 3 children then ran outside. No one was injured. Officers arrived at the scene around 4:45 p.m. and brought both a canine and a hostage negotiation team. He barricaded himself inside the home for 3 hours before he finally stepped out onto the porch. Nearby streets were shut down as police asked neighbors to stay inside during the standoff. Pepper balls were used to subdue Blackwell, who was wearing a holster of ammunition but was not carrying a weapon. He was taken into custody. They later found a loaded lever action long gun with a chambered round that had been left just inside the front door. He was taken to a hospital for emergency mental health evaluation. And authorities don't know if drugs or alcohol were involved in the incident. He has been charged with attempted first and second degree murder, first and second degree assault as well. And he faces a number of firearms violations after officers found 15 guns, 4 of them loaded inside his home. Due to prior assault convictions, he is not legally allowed to own guns. Police obtained 7 rifles, 4 shotguns, 2 pistols, 1 revolver, and a partridge in a pear tree. Karen, guess the race of Mr. What was his first name? Daniel Blackwell.
White.
Karen's going with white. What about you, Brandon?
I'm going to go with white, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Justin?
Well, you know, based off the fact that first that, you know, it was a 3-hour standoff, mm-hmm. I immediately said, oh, this is a white person. But then you said it was Baltimore. I said, oh, that has to be a black then.
All right.
Then mm-hmm. I got to go back with my first instinct. I'm going white.
All right. Let's check the chat room. Everybody's going white so far. You don't mess with a black man's food. Black grilled cheese and still alive. Definitely white. You don't want to get in between a cracker and cheese. White.
Oh.
Cheese? What kind? It doesn't matter. Cause cheese equal white. Black eating grilled cheese for sure. Didn't react when she stepped on his Jordans though, white. A provolone colored individual. Taken alive in Baltimore after 3 hours must be a Chesapeake cheese eater, white. Chesapeake cheese eater sound like a fucking basketball team for white people only. Went for the Friends reference instead of Martin. Taken alive, white man. She got the wrong cheese on that sandwich, has multiple guns. Come on, dog. White and white and white. The correct answer is, and everybody that said white, you got it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of you did say black. Definitely got it wrong. Okay, guys.
Yeah, I mean, he
wasn't supposed to have no guns. He had guns anyway. Mm-hmm. They did a fucking 3-hour standoff, shot him with pepper balls. Mm-mm.
Ooh. They tried to save his life too much, Karen.
Come on, they was reaching out too hard.
He didn't shoot up in the basement? Come on, man.
I'm just wondering how the hell he knew that she took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich from the basement. So yeah, shooting from the basement. It's like he's got an alarm on it.
Yeah. Well, that's his face right there, guys.
Oh, they beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, probably maybe got hit in the face with one of them pepper balls.
Yeah, probably from that 3-hour standoff. Yeah, because if it was a brother, they'd have sent one of them...
dogs?
No, one of them Amazon floating robots down there and blow their ass up. Blow
ass up. Okay.
Amazon floating robot.
A drone?
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't think of the name.
That's cool. That's cool.
Rosalie.
A Florida woman beats up her ex-boyfriend for kissing her mom. Oh, Florida. Mm-hmm. Only in Florida, guys. Yep. Wouldn't it be? Isn't that the way, as they say? It's the old people say. A 19-year-old Florida woman is in jail after beating up her ex-boyfriend when she caught him kissing her mother, who was sitting in his lap. That's a violation. You guys ever slept with the mother of one of the girls y'all were dating?
Oh, hell no.
No? Mm-hmm. What about you, Brandon? Sounds like something to be up your... Okay. Sounds like something to be up your alley, man.
I would be like, oh,
yeah, some of them look good sometimes. Yeah. Like, ooh, I see where you get it from, your mama.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't gonna, like, go for the mama because you want the, you know, the bomb.
Her name is Beninois Bolton. Beninois Bolton. She started to cry, broke in through the bedroom window, and pushed the victim over a chair, knocking him to the floor. When he tried to stand up, she slugged him in the head. Bolton and the victim dated for over a year, but they recently broke up. The ex had minor injuries to his arm, and his head was red from where she hit him. She was charged with domestic battery, according to Hernando County deputies. Guess the race of Beninois Bolton.
White.
Yeah. Didn't that say more about her mom not being shit, though?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I feel like her mom probably could have put some pressure on him. Like, if you don't kiss me, I'm going to tell my daughter that you, you know, robbed the house or you fucked me anyway.
I just feel like.
Sometimes we mean.
I just feel like a mom would be like, no, you used to date my daughter. I can't. No, we can't.
No, all the dick in the world. Come on. It, right. There's plenty of people I can fuck, dog.
Brandon, what about you, man? What race you think? Beninois Benton, is that her last name? What do you think her race is?
Based on that name, I'm going to have to go with black.
All right. What about you, Justin?
I don't see there's a lot of interracial dating going on in Florida. But she said when he was red in the head, I'm saying white.
Going white. All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe.
Black people can get red in the head, though.
Not like that.
We got Indian in us. We always red.
It is Florida. They do have the Seminoles down there. Let's see. LOL, honey, that's one spicy Latina. You know that mama ain't hit 33 yet, black. Oh, really dark night. That one hurt. Kung Fu fighting Asian. I kind of feel this woman is my ex kiss my mom anyway. Bolton's all white like snow.
Oh, it's just
Latina. Couldn't trust him after she caught him kissing her dog in the mouth earlier. Aw. Sally from the Valley, totally awesome white girl. Goes well with cheese cracker. The first person to get cuckolded by her mom, white.
Aww.
Clearly you've been in the wrong section of porn. She's not the first. Latina. Maybe Latina, redneck white girl. This is just a normal relationship in Trump's America, white. And aww, hold them down, baby. Let mama have them, black. The correct answer is, and anybody that said black or Latino, you were wrong. Also, if you said Asian, you was wrong. The only people that was right was everybody that said white.
Whatever. Yeah, that's a hell of a name for a white girl. She really? Ain't ever gonna get a job.
For real, Beninois? She been in her resume been in many trash cans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Her credit rating went down like 100 points just by the name alone.
Yeah. And she's only 19, man. I mean, when you 19 and your mama kissing your boyfriend, I mean, that's just a bad look all around.
Ooh, yes, ooh. Yep, yep. Yeah.
She looking like a crazy cabbage patch doll and shit.
She like Chucky, mama.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Mother of Chucky. Looking,
bro, Chucky doll
like
overgrown hair.
Carrie, yo. Yeah. She was like the mom for Carrie before she put her in the closet.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to laugh at you. Yeah, she definitely was.
Jesus said you going to have to fire me.
All right. Last one. We gotta go to the bonus round. Now Brandon's down.
Come on.
This is important.
Man.
Here's the bonus round music. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen and Justin are 2-for-2, and Brandon's 1-for-1. But in the bonus round, everything's worth double. Maybe he can catch up.
Double the trouble.
A former South Carolina Republican congressional candidate was arrested last week on felony charges of unlawful theft of livestock, though he contends it was part of a horse rescue operation. Curtis Bostic and another local man were picked up by authorities December 18th and taken to Three Forks Regional Jail. Boston told Live 5 News he believed that the charges would be short-lived. The only thing I can tell you, because it's outstanding, it was part of a horse rescue operation, he said, and I think it's going to be short-lived, and that's all I can tell you. I was completely within my rights. As the Post and Courier notes, it's common practice in Kentucky for horse owners to let their livestock roam free in search of grassy areas typically planted by coal miners to reclaim flattened land. Guinea Grokey, executive director of the advocacy group Appalachian Horse Center, told the Post and Courier that the recession hit in 2008 and some owners abandoned their animals. Occasionally, outsiders would round up the horses to make some quick money. Grokey said, and less often, outsiders would attempt to find homes for the horses through a process that involved contacting local authorities and giving the owners 15 days to claim their livestock. Some people can get caught up in giving an abandoned horse a new home and that they don't take the steps, Grokey said, and if you don't do that, you're officially stealing the horse. Bostic served as interim and vice chairman on the Charleston County Council for 2001 to 2009. In 2013, he launched an unsuccessful bid to Congress in the South Carolina 1st Congressional District. His court date is set January 23rd, 2017. Guess the race, Mr. Curtis Bostic.
White.
Karen's going white. What about you, Brandon?
I'm going white as well.
Justin?
Stealing horses and shit.
I can't let Brandon beat me, so I'm going to go white.
All right. Wow. That's a strategic move. Strategic chess move right there, guys. That's the master of the game after only two times. Horse rescuers are always white, says Lucy. Horse rescue, really? White? Well, within my rights, that's something only white men say. The audacity of Caucasity, white. Don King, write that one. Horse thief, white. White dudes love Sarah Jessica Parker. Oh, damn. White. Walker, Texas Ranger. Knows how to legally steal white. I'm going to rescue these horses, especially that sexy one over there. White.
Aww.
Horses are white people problems. The correct answer is that everybody got it. White.
Yeah, I won. Thank you, guys. I won.
Sadly, Brandon came in third.
I'm glad that you delivered that right after what he just
said. Yeah, I saw him try to sneak in and take credit. But that's sadly
he looks like that guy. The horses.
Yeah, he voted for Trump.
Why is he wearing his own shirt?
Ah,
that is so corny. Said, free Curtis Boswell.
That shit is cornier than an NFL player wearing his own jersey outside. Yeah. You know.
Oh God!
He already had it ready just because he knew he was gonna get into some shit.
Right. He's like, just in case they arrest us, I have my shirt. Yeah, no, guys, you heard of me. I'm Curtis Bostic. I ran for governor around here. Just look at my shirt. Oh, really? Okay, right to remain silent. Okay.
You can get it at my website.
Yeah.
He's like, y'all know how to use Craigslist?
These are my horses. All right, last thing. Got to talk about these swords, guys. And that's how they dive in, just that easy. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, don't do that. A thug stabbed a man with a samurai sword in a road rage attack at a shopping center.
Oh shit!
You know how these thugs do when they get them holding them swords, Karen? They can't help themselves.
Ah.
Get a little fender bender. Next thing you know, you also got to take a trip to the hospital.
Apparently so.
Afro samurai.
Mm-hmm. He T-bones you, and then he really T-bones you with a damn sword. A thug stabbed a man in the chest with a samurai sword in a suspected road rage incident. Oh, maybe I can play this. Hold on. This might be one of them articles that, of course, now it wants to take its time. All right. Here we go. Oh, no, it's just a video of the crime scene. Nigga, I don't want to see this. Linford White, 38, admitted to wounding the 36-year-old Jonathan Colthurst near a United Carpet store August 22nd. He also admitted possession of a bladed article and criminal damage in connection with the incident, which happened around 5:30 p.m. White of Goswell Street in Wavertree denied intending to cause his victim serious harm and was set to stand trial in February next year, but the attacker today changed his plea to guilty. He's accepting the more serious charge against him. White, with receding black hair and a full beard and wearing a black t-shirt, appeared in the video linked to HMP Liverpool. He spoke only to confirm his personal details and to enter his plea during a brief hearing this morning. Gary Lawrenson, defending, told the court his client was already being assessed for a psychiatric report. Judge Alan Conrad, QC, said, "I want the psychiatric report to address the question of dangerousness." The judge remanded White into custody until his sentencing on February 3rd next year. Mr. Colthurst suffered serious injuries and was taken to the hospital after being stabbed in the left side of his chest with a sword.
Ooh.
That's where your heart is normally. One woman working nearby told Echo, "I heard a man was stabbed and he ran in the carpet shop for safety. I didn't see him going in for but an ambulance came and I saw someone coming out with an oxygen mask on." The incident is said to have started as a road rage incident involving an argument between the two men. Mm-mm-mm. Listen, guys, y'all be careful, man. People carrying these swords out here. You know, you want to tell them, hey, get over, buddy, or whatever. Next thing you know, you put on a katana. Now you got to get the fuck out of there. Your shit is real in these streets.
That's why I carry a mace with me wherever I go.
There you go.
They can still cut through the sauce. Huh? They can still cut through the spray.
No, not that kind of mace. He meant a mace. Brandon, like, why you
bring the joke? Come on now,
Brandon, like, why you bringing a rapper from Harlem? Ain't he a preacher now?
I'm with you, Brandon. I was like, when you gonna spray him in the eyeballs? What's happening here? All
right, guys, listen. If you enjoyed yourself, many of you guys requested that we had these guys back on.
Yes, you did.
Just yesterday, you didn't know behind the scenes we was already working on it, but.
Yep.
Go out and check out Brandon and Justin's podcast, man. I listen to it every time it comes out. You know, great interviews and great, oh, I forgot to mention, great interview with this porn star.
Yes.
You know, that time when Brandon was, high on Quaaludes or some shit. I don't know what happened to Brandon. He just like passed out.
I was, you know what it was, Rod? We recorded that because Justin and Tyler were in, LA. Mm. They recorded like 7 p.m. their time. It was midnight here. My girl, she was sleeping in the bedroom. My little sister's sleeping in the spare bedroom. I had to record it in the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm half tired. I'm walking around in the tub. It was just a rough episode for me.
Yeah, I was like, "What? I don't know what happened to, like, let him go." It was. I was happy when he got to go. He's like, "All right, I just y'all finish it up." I was like, "Yes, that's get some rest,
Isn't
buddy."
That one when he was whispering.
Yeah, he was whispering. Yeah, Karen heard some of that one. She's like, "What's he whispering for?" I was like, "I don't know." Well, I don't know.
I know he whispered like,
right?
I know,
guys. Actually, another thing, speaking about Tyler Knight, I know he's actually.
anybody's in New York, he's going to be in New York later on this month doing the book signing. If you go to his Twitter, I know he's posted it on there, and of course his website, you can find information as well.
There you go.
Yeah, I had to check to be sure Brandon was safe. He was like, she's going to beat me.
Yeah. He's gone. But yeah, it was a great episode, man. Like I said, it was a great interview too.
Yes.
You know, talking about pornography and that dude, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what shows do y'all have coming up?
Yeah, so, I'm gonna be in Boston actually. Justin and I are gonna be in Boston this weekend. I'm gonna be hopping around some shows. Of course, checking out our podcast, Media Popcorn. We're looking to try to do a live show eventually.
Yes.
So hopefully that'll be coming up soon. So follow us at Medium P Podcast on Twitter. All that, and then of course I have my Comedy Outliers show Saturday, January 21st in New York City. Folks that are fans of the show, that y'all know I do that with Mike Brown, so definitely if you're in New York City, come check us out. You can follow me at Twitter at American Collins. Thank you guys so much for having us on the show again.
No problem, man.
Biggest pushes of our podcast. Yeah. Y'all definitely helped us like start growing our fan base and just we started getting the ears of a lot of people, man. So thank you so much, guys.
We love y'all very, very much. And where are you at in Boston? Do you know the location?
I'll be all around. So just follow me at American Collins on Twitter, and that I'm gonna have like posters with all my dates and stuff like that.
Okay.
And also, speaking of Mike Brown, man, I just recorded a season recap of the OA this weekend with Mike, and we had a good time. It's you definitely not gonna hear a recap like this nowhere else for the OA. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that. So you know, I'll put it out for the premium people in the next day or two, but. Yeah, man. Make sure you guys support and follow these people.
Yeah, and check them out, y'all. They are loads of fun. If nothing else, for the theme song itself.
It's the best theme song in podcasting.
Ever. I sing. We put it on repeat. Like, we listen to a bunch of episodes, and I sing like I've never heard it every time.
Yeah, every time. Starts. Beginning and the end. We sing it. Yeah. We sing it with brand new, renewed vigor every single time.
Yes.
It's the perfect fucking song, man. Never gets tired. But yeah, so make sure you guys do that. We'll be back tomorrow, and then Wednesday, our guest will be Mr. Span from the Span Report, which I believe we're recording at 7 that day. So we'll see you guys then. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah.